May we, the Council of the Town of Bassendean, being mindful of the code of conduct, have the integrity and wisdom to consider the matters before us honestly, graciously, and for the greater good of the town. Welcome everybody to the July Council meeting, and it's always important for us here at the town to acknowledge that our town was founded on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and to say that we pay our respects to the Noongar people, past, present and future, and to acknowledge their ongoing contribution to our community here. As most of you would already know, here at the Town of Bassendean we have started not only recording but live streaming our council meetings in an effort to enable our community to engage more with the local council. So tonight's meeting will be recorded and will also be publicly available on the internet. So anybody who's speaking or asking questions, just wanted to bring that to your attention so that you're aware that that is the case. So tonight, one of the main items on the agenda is the budget for 2018-19 year. So to start off with, Mr. Costarella is going to present a summary of the budget for the benefit of the councillors and the community members who are present. There'll be the opportunity for both councillors and community members to ask questions at the conclusion of the presentation. So thank you, Mr. Costarella.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a quick presentation on what we have in the budget and how we develop the budget and what options we have to amend the budget. So with any budget, we have to start off with a closing balance from last year and an opening balance this year. In 2017-18, we finished with a surplus of $1.6 million, of which additional income of $891,000. This relates to grants and income from fees and charges. We've had savings and expenditure of $510,000. We haven't completed some of the capital works, and that's $820,000. We didn't sell the two blocks for the Sandy Beach Playground. There was a $570,000 we didn't get, and there was a loss of income, loss of sale on assets, and that leaves us with a surplus of $1,600,000. So that's our opening figure. Now, what we've got in the budget this year, the rates increase is 0.9%. So that's quite good. And we've increased our rubbish by $5. And I'll get to some details on that in a minute. We've had some additional positions, employment staff positions. We have capital works of $5 million, and the good thing about that, we've got grants and reserves of $4 million to cover that cost. And we have other projects within the operating budget. Our closing surplus is the draft budget that you have with you is $68,914. So I guess, how do we just achieve the 0.9 to 1%? 0.9 or 1% is the CPI for Perth. And I think council was cognizant of the economic climate out there, and they wanted to keep it at that level. What we did, we're using reserve funds for some of the capital works, as well as capital grants and cash in lieu. So of the $5 million is about $900,000 of rates money being used. The waste service. Of course, next year we will be starting we'll be starting the third bin system. So we have to purchase the bins next year. This $5 will help us cover that. There's also a new contract with Sewers, which has given us a reduced cost in waste. We've been able to include the employment of a coordinator, and we've got a community waste education program all covered by the additional $5. Additional positions in the workforce plan this year, we have a director's executive assistant that works 30 hours. We're going to increase that to 38 hours. The two educators for Wind in the Willows, they again covered by the fees from Wind in the Willows. Our recycling and waste coordinator, again covered by the rubbish fee. And our environmental health officer, which we're finding that we need an additional person to cover the compliance requirements within the Act. and that relates to noise, mosquitoes, and shops, food. Capital Works program, about $5 million, and I've just picked the bigger programs within those areas. Land and buildings of $964,000. We've got the men's shed, Sandy Beach at Blucher Block, and 1 Surrey Street. Again, we've got grants of $200,000 for the men's shed. The Sandy Beach is covered by cash in lieu, and the Surrey Street is covered by the reserve funds. Similar with the drainage. We've got $547,000 worth of drainage, of which $400,000 is from our reserve funds. And there's three or four projects there that... Now, these are all listed in the budget document, but I've picked the bigger ones just to show you what we're doing. With the furniture and equipment, of course, this includes the purchase of the third bin, which is $700,000. Now, that's covered by a grant of $232,000 from Department of Waste and and reserve funds from the council's waste reserve fund. So there's no rates required for that. And we've got a couple of small ones there. The electric charge station is a new one for the town as well. The CCTV at Success Hill and the CCTV for the library. The network links is one that we're doing from Old Perth Road down to Ashfield by fibre optic. That's right, thank you. The plant, again, similar situation. We're spending $147,000, of which reserve funds and trade-ins is $113,000. So there's a net figure of $34,000 there. Now, parks and reserves. I've listed some of the larger projects on that as well. The Merry Crescent Playground, Spillway at Success Hill, Broadway, and plant equipment for Wind in the Willows. Again, these are cash in lieu and reserve funds. Probably the biggest project we've got next year is the Safe Actives projects. We have two projects, one for Whitfield Street and one for Broadway, and they total $1.4 million. And we are receiving the grant of $1.3 million, so the total contribution from the town is $100,000 for a $1.4 million project, which is quite good. We have the resurfacing program, and again, we've got grants of $75,000 there. In addition to the capital works program, we also have projects within our operating budget, and these are all listed within the document that you have. Some of the bigger items, we've got public events, $428,000, relates to NAIDOC, Australia Day, WAMI, and a few others, and a host of other events. The Whitfield Street design, that's at SAS, is not Special Air Services, it's Safe Active Streets, and that's the design for the bike. Boulevard, yep. Strategic planning and town planning, there's $218,000 worth of projects that are happening next year. Environmental projects, the largest one, which I don't have at the moment, but they're listed on there and I'll find out for you, and economic development there as well. Some other ones that we do include in the operating budget, our bushland management program, verge maintenance, and et cetera, et cetera. Now we've got street trees, we're actually increasing that to 500 trees next year. So that's quite a large increase, and quite a good opportunity for us to do that. So at this point, the budget, this is all the stuff that's in the budget, and at this point we have a surplus of $68,000. The possible discussions between councillors and staff, there was some items that may or may not be included or excluded. And we have these items, the water fountain at Merrick Crescent, the employment of an urban forest officer for 4 months. We actually found additional parking fees, $3,000. There is some consultation for the strategic planning projects that we need to do. We may or may not exclude the Pickering Park boat ramp study. We may or may not exclude the rates incentive prices. The depot gate security, we've amended one of the accounts from $25,000 to $16,500, so there's a saving of $8,500 there. Kelly Park lights, we will possibly ask for cash in lieu for that. And we were advised by our insurance company only on last week that our premiums aren't as big as they should have been, and so we had a saving of $30,000 there. If we include all those, we'll have a closing surplus of $99,000. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So what I'll do is open up questions from councillors, and then when councillors have asked all their questions...
Sorry, Your Worship. I'm just wondering with standing orders, just with how we're conducting the meetings. We haven't suspended standing orders because in the program under standing orders, we move on to public question time.
So we're going to
suspending standing orders, Your Worship?
We can suspend standing orders if you'd like, Councillor Gangell, but seeing as the information that Mr Cosgrove has presented is fresh in everyone's mind, I thought it would be a good opportunity to give you all a chance to ask some questions now and then give the public a chance to ask questions on this and any other items on the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I think I'll be more comfortable if we suspended standing orders rather than put something in place that's not in standing orders. Thank you.
So are you moving that we suspend standing orders?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship.
Is there a seconder? All those in favour? Okay, so that's passed unanimously.
There wasn't
one. Oh, sorry. Councillor Mikichuk did not.
Okay.
Okay, so are there any questions for Mr Costarella? Councillor Wilson.
How many years have you been managing the budget for the town of Assamu?
11 years.
And in your 11 years managing the budget, has there been a rate increase this low in the entire time that you've been here?
No.
Are there further questions at this point? Okay, so in that case, would somebody, I'll move that we resume standing orders. Seconded, Councillor Gangell. All those in favour? You want to resume standing orders, I assume?
Yes.
That's passed unanimously. Okay, so now we'll move on to item two, which is public question time. So there's 15 minutes, or at least 15 minutes allocated. So if there are any members of the public who'd like to ask questions, please raise your hand and come to the microphone. Yes, Mr. Veal.
Yes, thanks for that. Ian Veal, 33 Bassendean Parade.
Yes, so Mr. Veal, just before you begin, I just want to remind people to stick to the 2-minute question limit tonight because councillors need to get on to
I'll definitely do that
minute.
Off my watch.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I have two questions, but before I start, I wish to thank Graeme Hacken and the staff involved in the active removal of the yellow markers in the floodplain area. Thank you very much for that. My question's in relationship to the MRC's Swan and Helena flood model study. And the question is, can you provide to this meeting what the current position is in relationship to the public distribution of that study? I know the council's got to get it first, but what would happen once the council gets it?
So first of all, thank you for acknowledging the staff's efforts with the flood markers.
Thank you.
And so you're asking when it's going to be published and made public. Is that your
true,
question?
Yes. And if it's going to be made public through the Shire rather than through the MRC itself.
Sure. Who's best placed to answer that? Mr. Hadley?
Thank you, Ian, for those comments. I'd like to acknowledge that too. In terms of the release of the flood study, it'll be coming to the town in final form imminently, I believe, in the next week or two. The Department for Waters was suggesting that it will be their formal flood height maps as of the 1st of October. And so it will be official at that time and will be publicly released at that time.
Okay, thanks for that. The second question... Yeah, the second question relates to item 10.2 on the agenda.
Corporate business plan.
10.2. And the attachments in 9 in regards to the... I'll get this up here so I can actually see what I've written. In regards to the activities of the Local Emergency Management Committee during May and June 2018, I don't see anything in those previous 6th of June minutes or the item 10.2, which is the adoption of those minutes. In regard to the involvement... in the recent Bethune court hearing.
Can I just interrupt you for a minute? I'm a little bit lost. So 10.2 is the corporate business plan. Where are you referring to?
My understanding is 10.2 is in the minutes of meetings of the Local Management Emergency Management Committee, and I'm referring to the content of those.
No. I'm a bit lost, I'm sorry.
Not in this agenda at all.
Yeah.
It's not on the agenda.
Sorry,
under 10.2.
Sorry, may I just ask before we continue? There's a fair bit of feedback on the microphone. Is there anything we can do to improve the quality? Sorry.
Thank you for
very
that.
Difficult here.
Yeah.
Is that the previous minutes or the previous?
Yes, it is previous minutes.
Okay. So you're looking at the attachment associated with 5.1, I believe.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll ask the question because you've got other people that you want to deal with.
Sorry, what was the question?
I'm assuming that the question, that the things that I've referred to is correct. And I've got in regards to this, this is the committee's involvement in the recent Bethune SAT hearing. And why has this involvement not been recorded or discussed in this under items 8.4 and 8.5? There's nothing in those minutes that refer at all to that committee having done anything to do or provided any information whatsoever in relationship to the Bethune case. Well, that's inconsistent with stuff that's...
I think I understand what your question is. I think we're just trying to locate where you're referring to. Other staff?
Can I leave it with you and just answer it in writing?
Can I make a comment, though?
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
I had one of our planners contact the Department of Water about when the flood study is completed, would they be providing a new map? And they have said it will be their task to provide the new map with the new boundaries for the flood levels as soon as it's practicable.
Okay. Well, I've got a document where somebody gave some evidence at the SAT hearing which indicates that there was information being provided by this council in relationship to the problems that related to the flood down in regards to the risks that were involved, and that information was seriously looked at by the SAT committee.
Mr. Veal, I think because we're not sure exactly what documents are referring to, it might be something we need to discuss later when we can sit down and have a look at what you've got.
Okay, thanks very much for that.
I think I have a written response to that that was sent to me a couple of days ago. I'll make sure you get a copy of it tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Okay, further questions? Ms. Jacobson?
Hi, Nonnie Jacobson, Barton Parade, Bassendean. I'm just asking a question about... We recently reported some of what we thought might be illegal landfilling or...
dumping.
Rubbish dumping, yeah. Near Bindaring Park. And I was just wondering if the property in question where that soil has been placed, is there a development application or a development approval there?
Sorry, is there... Could you just...
Has there been a development approved for that site?
So on the site where the dumping was.
Thank you for the question. The area where the spoil was delivered. Was private property, and we've had several discussions with the property owner, and they removed the material. The material was completely within their property. There was some overspill into the verge area. And we requested them to re-level that verge area. A portion of, I suppose you'd describe it as a portion of a wetland area, does intrude into their lot, but that's within their lot, privately owned lot.
Okay, so the soil level there has actually been...
Yes, there was an increase in the level, but that was within their lot.
Okay. And is that all perfectly legal?
perfectly legal. Well, they're entitled to place material onto their lot. The material was from a swimming pool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Further questions? Mr. Kay?
Thank you, Your Worship. Bruce Kay, 11 Earls Ferry Court, Bassendean. My question relates to the acceptance of the previous minutes from last week, which was item 10.8, relating to the Your Move proposal. And I note in the minutes there's a workshop on the 14th of August to deal with council. I think Your Move is about moving around our town. The railway line does provide a bit of a barrier between north and south, and I would like to ask that consideration of the Wilson Street, 2nd Avenue underpass of the railway be given full consideration under this proposal. I use it myself when we're out walking. I've noticed some older citizens get through the underpass all right, but have trouble crossing Guildford Road. And I'd like to ask the council to consider fixing the underpass under the railway so that it's in line for security purposes, and two, that it's extended fully across Guildford Road, under Guildford Road, so that you can cross from Railway Parade right through somewhere near the War Memorial and get into those parts of the town.
Thanks for your comment, and I agree with you. There are some other issues with that, like, for example, having young children trying to get through there with bike trailers and so on, it's impossible. But I think maybe, Mr. Haggard, are you able to provide a bit more clarification about what the Your Move program is going to deliver? Because that is, it's a great suggestion, but I'm not sure that really falls within the scope of the Your Move.
It's all about a bucket of money.
The Your Move program is a program that's been promoted by the Department of Transport, and they will partner with the town in the delivery of that program. It's about changing people's behaviours to increase pedestrian, public transport and cycling, and reduce the reliance on private vehicle transport. So that's the intention behind the program, and they'll be working intensively with the community to achieve those outcomes.
Thank you.
Can I suggest my idea is in line with that, that if you look at the railway for pedestrians crossing it, there's a bridge at Ashfield Station, there's Collier Road level crossing, there's a bridge at Bassendean Station, there's a bridge at Lord Street, there's a footbridge at Success Hill, and there's a path under the railway at the river. This crossing is quite central to our town, and I think important in our structure planning, and that if that could be considered, and all right, might be a bit expensive, but I think it would be a great asset to assist the town population to move between parts of the town.
Great. Thanks for the suggestion.
May I ask a second question?
Of course.
In the draft budget, item 11 on page 24 lists major land transactions and said nothing is anticipated in this year. My recollection of the plan for Scheme 4A is that the remnant land that the council has to purchase was going to be purchased in this year, and that the bits of land that we had left to sell were going to occur. Why is it not mentioned?
I was anticipating that you might ask this question. So you're right.
Mr. Costa Rullo corrected the document earlier.
Pardon? Sorry, what was that?
Perhaps you could have Mr. Costa Rullo correct the document earlier in the meeting.
So you are correct. There was a previous resolution along those lines. In preparation of the budget, there's obviously been quite a number of councillor workshops along the way. And one of the things that was removed for this particular financial year was those land transactions relating to winding up 4A. And that was largely because, given the current economic times, council thought it was impractical for us to make all those land purchases that would be required to wind it up in the time frame that's currently been specified. So.
Thank you, Your Worship.
You're welcome. Mrs. Brinkworth?
Recorded 19 Over Street, Bassendean.
Sorry, Ms. Brinkworth, do you mind speaking up just a little?
Turning it up. Okay, you got my name.
Yeah.
Firstly, I'd like to congratulate everyone with the NAIDOC Day. It was absolutely fabulous and everything worked well. Also, Able Reserve. What a wonderful thing can be done with our open space. Can we please repeat that somewhere? Maybe May Holman Reserve and the other little pockets that we've got. because that really looks fabulous down there. Now on the budget, I just want to query the $15 fee for car parking at the Skyworks. When it was $10, I had people screaming all the time. I think this is an unfair hike for people who don't live in the area because they can't, they walk. But people who come out of other areas to come here to a free event and then to be charged $15. Hopefully, if you're continuing that way, please make it well advertised that it is $15 and make sure that the people don't get abused at the gates, which they will. Have we had a community consultation regarding the infant health clinic maybe down in the Cottage of Success?
At One Surrey Street, do you mean?
Yeah.
No, so I'm sure you're aware from your time on council that project's been ongoing for quite a number of years, and
the
suggestion of the possibility of having the infant health clinic has only been a recent one. It is a one potential use for that site, and the grant for that particular location has always been dependent upon there being a community purpose in that facility, so that's why Council's exploring that at this stage, because we've identified that that's a high priority area for the community at this point in time. But no, there hasn't been an official consultation around that specific.
There will be one before it's...
What do you actually want? I'm not sure what you're wanting us to...
Previously, we were always criticised for not having enough community consultation, and here we are getting these things done. Are the community going to be consulted once you've decided what the... going there?
Look, I share your concerns. One of my concerns about this project has been that there's only really been consultation with the two current user groups, and that concerns me also. The council finds ourselves in a difficult position because there have been grant applications that have got timeframes associated with them which are close to expiring. So if we don't make some decision on this project, we're jeopardising potentially that grant money. So we are also in a difficult position, because I can say that the people in this room representing the community at this point in time definitely do really value community consultation, but we're in a really challenging position, because that is what we ultimately want to do, but we have this project which is a legacy project that we are really trying to get the best outcome in a less than ideal situation.
Well, I hope you take the ramifications when they come, because they will, obviously. The mosquito control, maybe when I was on council, I didn't take much notice of that. The little amount we spent on the controlling them was $2,500, am I right?
So I think there's also some EMRC contribution there. Am I correct, Mr. Stuart Dawkins? In that program?
It's actually not under my portfolio, okay. But... There was funding allocated for a staff member to assist in regards to the management of that area.
Mm-hmm.
We have water quality monitoring that we're doing all the time. Plus, we also do baiting of the area to try and manage the mosquito larvae.
So are you able to clarify for Mrs. Brinkworth what the specific $2,500 figure is for in relation to the mosquitoes?
Through you, Madam Mayor. The mosquito program listed on our projects is $36,000. The 2.5 relates to the rat eradication.
I know that's staff time. How much is actually given to the...
The $36,000 is the actual contract for the mosquito control. That doesn't include the staff time.
So I think what Mr. Costello is saying, the $2,500 that you're referring to might be the rat control.
Yeah,
and
the
that's,
rat,
the,
that's the rat.
Yeah, so that's a different program.
Okay, so there is adequate for the mosquito, because
yes.
I believe this year is going to be really bad after all this water.
And that's one of the reasons why the staff have recommended that we have an additional health officer.
And the worry was last year or the year before, we actually sent it up north and then we didn't have enough here. So.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Brinkworth. Thank you very much. Mrs. Carter.
Thank you. And before I start, I do like to congratulate the staff and the councillors on the NAIDOC week and the NAIDOC day. It was a lovely day. Okay, my question refers to item 10.8, and it is to the Mayor. I'm sorry, it's Jenny Carter, 8 Highland Street, Bassendean, and I'm the President of the Bassendean Historical Society as well. Now, my question is to the Mayor and Councillors. What is their intention to honour the 30-year commitment to the people of Bassendean that the heritage building complex at 1 Surrey Street will be protected and preserved, and to provide a history of Bassendean interpretation space in the residence? As a background to this question, the 1893 built residence at 1 Surrey Street was bought by the council in 1988, and as an aside, I'll tell you there have been lots of consultations over that time. Lately, not so much because of the condition of the building precluded it being used for many other things other than what it's been doing at the moment. Anyway, it was bought by the council in 1988 to protect the adjoining Enrolled Pensioner Guard cottage, which was built by convicts in 1856. And this little gem of a building is the oldest in Bassendean, is the only Pensioner Guard dwelling still intact in the metropolitan area. And its special character was the reason the town secured a generous Lottery West grant to restore the adjacent house. Please, can we be assured that at a time when we have seen the destruction of so much of our heritage, that this site will be protected and enhanced and provide a welcoming space within which to tell the stories of the people of Bassendean to present and future generations? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. So that's the 15 minutes public question time. I'm aware that there's budget discussions this evening. Is there somebody who'd like to move an extension of question time? Is there anybody other than Mrs. Jacobson who has questions? Okay, I think we can have another question from you.
Hi, Nonnie Jacobson's Barton Parade, Bassendean. I've just got a question. It's actually regarding the minutes from last month's council meeting where it mentioned there was actually a response to a question that had been asked by a member of the public regarding the Bassendean Fire Station and its possible status as a contaminated site. I'm just concerned that in the response to her question it said that, yes, contamination has been found there and that it may or may not have entered the stormwater system and possibly the groundwater within the town of Bassendean and the catchment of the Swan River. So I'm just wondering if there's something that the town of Bassendean might be able to add monitoring for those substances, being PFOS and PFAS, to the already ongoing groundwater monitoring that's occurring within the town.
Thank you. Mr. Stuart Dawkins, is that...
That's something we'll take up with the state government and the federal government. They're the two levels of government that are dealing with this particularly nasty chemical. We'll take that up with them. It's their site, and I understand they're going to be progressively cleaning up these sites right around Australia.
Yeah.
All we know from the advice that we've received is they found it present in the soil.
Yes.
I'm not sure that they've had anything more than that, but we will make inquiries. But we have heard through the grapevine that they do intend to remediate the site.
That's good to hear.
So we'll try and get some more detail.
Thank you, though. It's a really good point. Okay, so moving on to item 2.2, addresses by members of the public. So if there's anybody who'd like to address council on any of the items on tonight's agenda, now you have the opportunity to do so. So, Mrs. Carter?
As a follow-on one, could I have an answer to our question about whether it will be protected and preserved?
I'm not sure that's a question that one individual councillor can make. You know that it's on the agenda later on this evening, so there's going to be a decision made about the future of this site. So I would ask you to be patient and wait and hear the discussion that happens at that point in the agenda, and then you'll hear what council's position is on this as a whole.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any further items? Okay, well, in that case, we'll move on to item 3, which is attendances, apologies and applications for leave of absence. Councillor Gandra?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I request a leave of absence from the 12th to the 25th of August.
Can I just remind councillors, if they are having a leave of absence, to take responsibility for letting the staff know that they won't be attending any committee meetings during that time as well? We've had a couple of times when the deputies weren't aware, so if we could all take that responsibility between now and when the minutes are published, that would be really helpful. Any further applications for leave? Okay, so I'll move approving Councillor Gansel's leave of absence. Is there a seconder? Councillor Mikichuk, all those in favour? And that's passed unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item 4, we now have a deputation from Dr. Felicity Morrill Edney Brown. So if you'd like to come up to the table.
Thank you.
So Dr. Morrill Edney Brown is from Culture and Context, and she assisted us with the workshop on One Surrey Street that was held recently with myself and Kath Hamilton representing councillors, all of the groups who were in support of our Lottery West grant, and of course our staff. So thank you for being here this evening and sharing a summary of that workshop with councillors. So we'll give you up to about 10 minutes to present, and then at the end of that, if councillors have got questions, then hopefully you wouldn't mind answering them for each of us. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Your Worship and councillors, elected members, Councillor Hamilton, who was at the workshop, Mr Jarvis. I have really come here tonight. You have the report before you. The nub of the issue is, as Her Worship has already outlined, that there is funding that is currently in place, considerable amount of funding, close to $500,000, contingent upon the support of a number of heritage organisations, which are referred to as representative organisations in the report. We staged a workshop here at the town. I think it would be correct to say that the debate was somewhat heated and that a lot of issues were aired robustly, honestly, forthrightly. People expressed their opinions. They also expressed their concerns about the fact that they were effectively at an impasse as to the continued use of the site. The focus of the workshop was to secure support from the representative organisations that were there for the 2C proposal in its currently proposed revised iteration, which included an infant health clinic. At the end of the workshop, we did get support for that. It was a binary decision. I would, you know, accept the fact that people felt that they had to compromise to make that decision. But the nub of the issue is really that you have funding from Lotteries West. It's contingent upon the support. It's my professional opinion that it's largely based upon the cultural heritage significance of your state registered place being the Pensioner Guard Cottage and the relationship of the residency to it. In the past 3 years, the amount of funding available to Lotteries West for all community projects has diminished considerably due to the impact of online gambling, and also the state budget has had an issue in play with that. There's been some mining of those resources. I suspect, and this is a surmise on my part, but I think it's a professional surmise based on other information that I have to hand that I can't disclose, that should the town go back to Lotteries seeking funding for community purposes for that site of a similar quantum, you would be unlikely to get it. And that's because there was no need for Lotteries to require the representative organisations to support this application if they felt that another community purpose would be equally possible to fund to the same quantum. So the dilemma that the town has is probably whether or not you support the application as it's currently standing to Lotteries, move forward with the conservation of the buildings, one of which is deteriorating significantly, one of which is a state registered place in which you have a duty of care to maintain and conserve in any way, or whether you let this application lapse, and as you know, the clock is ticking. You have until April 2019 in the current extension that's been granted to you. If you let it lapse, to take more time to work out community consultation about what you want to do with the site as a whole. So you have the report for you. You see my recommendations. That's the context. I'm happy to take any questions on that basis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Quinton.
Yes. Councillor Quinton, I was...
I'm sorry you weren't able to attend.
Me too. When you have an opportunity to take the kids away for school holidays, that's what you do because they're much more important.
Of course.
So I did read your report and the indicative changes that you wanted to make that included a child health centre, and there seems to be very little...
Could I just correct you there?
Yes.
It's the architects who've made the changes. I was maybe presenting the workshop.
Thank you. Was there the architectural indicative changes for the child health centre? To me, comparing the 2C and the indicative changes, there seems to be a walls difference between them. Because I wasn't at the meeting, was there a sense that there was support for the indicative changes compared to the 2C design?
So the 2C design included a community use in the rear, a community office, included a curator's office in the proposal as a whole, and that has been omitted or changed. Other than that, the uses don't appear to me to be terribly substantial.
Yes, and I'm glad that you can see that we're in a difficult position and that we're
I think it is difficult because the clock's ticking.
Absolutely.
And the economic climate has changed.
Yes. Now, when, and I've just looked up my report, it almost a year to the day I put out a survey to our community, and I surveyed about 100 people, mostly families, mostly women with children who
had formal community consultation.
No, I wasn't a counsellor then. I was off my own back. And it was in relation to the current James Street Child Health Centre and how valued that space is, how people love the space, but it is old, it is tiny, it is 60 years old actually. So we're in a position now where we are at least 10 years behind in the needs, servicing the needs of our 200 families we have, babies born in Bassendean every year. So we're in a position now where we need to find desperately a new space for our families to go, for our babies. So this opportunity presents itself for us to put the Child Health Centre there. And the compromise that I feel was made at the workshop, based on your report, seems to me that we can honour the heritage of the residents at the front of the building.
I'm just getting the plans.
Yes, thanks. And that we can still serve our community with the $500,000 that we need to put up to preserve. I just wanted to get more of a sense of you about how you felt about that compromise, and especially your professional opinion on the heritage of the space. I think I have had my own reservations about putting the Infant Health Centre there, because James Street is just a beautiful location with the big reserve, and the mothers can go and sit in the sun, and there's not really that opportunity at Surrey Street. So I'm not familiar
with James Street, so
I'm kind of feeling like this is hopefully a temporary measure.
So, Councillor Quinton, are you asking for a comment?
I'm just asking for your professional opinion about the compromise that we've come to, because you can understand, I'm just trying to give you some context about the desperate need we have for a new infant health centre, and balancing that need with the heritage significance of the residents.
So I can't comment on whether this is the best location for an infant health clinic. You may have better locations elsewhere in the town. That's outside my remit and my purview. I'm not informed about that. I think there are both advantages and disadvantages in having an infant health clinic in the rear. Obviously, the 2C proposal that was previously approved didn't have a clinic in it. But it was acknowledged by the representative organisations at the workshop that there will be a different demographic coming to the Infant Health Centre, and they will become more aware of the history and heritage of the town of Bassendean. And it's the history and heritage of any place that glues the fabric of your society together and makes it more resilient and strong. People have a sense of place, a sense of belonging, a sense of continuum, a sense that they are helping to build the future that will be inherited by others. And so its use per se, I don't think, is deleterious to the cultural heritage significance of the site.
Great.
Okay, can I just ask for the benefit of those councillors who weren't in attendance?
Yes.
So the key phrase that came out of that workshop relates to the use of the residence, and the wording is that the residence, its primacy of use is for interpretation, including passive use of the spaces for compatible purposes. Would you mind, for the benefit of those who weren't there, to provide a bit more of an explanation about what that actually means?
Certainly. The original 2C proposal used the entire residence for interpretation of the pensioner cottage and the relationship of that cottage to the history of Bassendean, the relationship of Bassendean's history to the history of the state. And that is a significant story to be told at this particular occasion, which really can't be told at any other place in the Perth metropolitan area, because there is no pensioner cottage anywhere else in the Perth metropolitan area. So that of itself is of extremely importance to the state, and in the coming up of the state's bicentenary in 2029 would be very attractive, I would think, for state funding and heritage interpretation. That application was originally predicated on using the entire residence for interpretation. One of the parts of the discussion that was occurred in the workshop was that it was hoped that the residence itself would be able to be used by other members of the community, so that they could come and they could have meetings there, they could run yoga classes there, they could perhaps be an overflow space from time to time for younger people, and perhaps infants were mentioned as well. And it was recognised that there would be no impediment necessarily to that happening. In fact, Councillor Hamilton was talking about travelling exhibitions coming into the space and being a great opportunity to use that space, and particularly ones that were self-contained and self-funded, even better, which wasn't an impost on the town's finances. But it was recognised that in order for that to work for both sets of parties, the use of that space would need to be such a nature as not to affect the interpretation of the interpretation, whatever form it was, in the place. Now, it's possible to take interpretive elements and move them around, but if you can imagine, you really wouldn't want to take a space in which you had interpretation and perhaps have a pottery class where you've got, you know, clay flicking around the room. So passive use that was appropriate was accepted by the group. In fact, the wording was suggested by the National Trust as a compromise that would allow other groups to come in and use the place while the interpretation was in situ. Does that answer the question?
Are there other questions from councillors? Councillor Wilson?
Sorry, excuse me.
Thank you very much for your report and for coming on a weeknight to share the findings.
I'll give you my flu, so it's quid pro quo.
We can trade. We find ourselves in the very strange situation, being an elected government, having a community group have veto over a funding decision over an asset that our town owns in common. But for whatever reason that came to pass, that's where we find ourselves. May I
correct you there?
Please
in
do.
In actual fact, it's the state government that has veto over it.
Right.
Because they have imposed conditions.
Mm.
And so the town has had the workshop to strive to meet those conditions that the lotteries has actually imposed.
But those conditions only come into effect so long as the community groups involved are happy with what it is
well,
that
they
the
have,
town
they
proposes
have, they have passed, effectively passed a resolution that supports the proposal.
Mm. So I'm still a little bit unclear about the nature of the interpretation that the community groups involved require in order to give support to the other things council wants to do with the space. So what would that interpretation look like? And
it's a really interesting question. There has been an a report by Creative Designs for interpretation of the residency and the pensioner cottage. It was acknowledged that if the place was going to be used passively by other groups, that would need to be reviewed, and I believe that there has been heavy funds mooted in the forthcoming budget, or the budget you're about to vote on, to allow additional consultation to be undertaken to assess the degree to which that interpretation would fit with those needs.
Well, given that the community groups agreement is required, what did they present in the workshop that would satisfy their needs for the whole of the
So what they did
space.
Is they were, in fact, very generous, I think, in trusting the town to do the right thing in terms of consulting with them further about the actual interpretation, and they effectively passed this that resolution saying its primacy of use is for interpretation, including passive use of the spaces for compatible purposes, without imposing any other constraints on it.
Okay.
So it gives the town flexibility to go back, do a workshop. Councillor Hamilton was talking about travelling exhibitions. There was some discussion about the shape, the size, the configuration of the rooms that would work best for that and work best for interpretation and work best for the flow of people through the rooms if they were visiting the Infant Health Centre. So it was front and centre in the discussions at the workshop. Nobody was trying to sweep it under the carpet or pretend it didn't exist.
Councillor Hamilton.
Can I ask if you know how many interpretation plans have been done for the site?
As far as I'm aware, there are two.
Okay. I thought there were three. So,
And I've no doubt that they're all different, with a different focus.
So, would it be possible to extract from those various interpretation plans something that doesn't cost us more money to produce another interpretation plan because we've done so many plans?
Well, I haven't reviewed the interpretation plans, but I would suggest that that's what you would do, and then you would have a workshop that said these are the potential elements that may be financially beyond the organisations to now sustain anyway. And at the workshop we did talk about changes in technology and ways in which people are changing the way they interpret history, so that you know even an interpretation plan that's 3 or 4 years old needs to be revisited.
So when you say it may be beyond the entities involved, are you saying financially? Because I'm just interested in what respect.
Well, we did discuss that the original proposal had a curator's office in it. And that it was acknowledged that due to financial constraint, membership size and ageing population, demographics and all of those things, that it was unlikely that a curator would be needed or that it would be a formal museum. And so the words interpretive centre have been used consistently for quite some time as a result of that. So things change. I mean, there will be funding for the bicentennial of the state. So there may be opportunities for the town to do something on a temporary basis. It may be that the interpretation of the place expands and contracts.
Okay.
I mean, as I haven't reviewed the interpretation plans, and that wasn't part of the workshop, I wouldn't like to make further comment on that.
All right. Unless there are burning questions from councillors, I'm conscious of the fact that we have budget to also to consider tonight, and we don't want to be exhausted by the time we get to that. So is there anything that people are desperately wanting to ask before we thank our guest? So thank you for being here, especially if you're not feeling well. That's even more greatly appreciated.
It's a great project. Thank you very much
for
being involved.
And thanks for your input.
Thank you for
Okay, so councillors, moving on to item 5, which is the confirmation of the minutes. So do we have a mover for 5.1A, that the meetings from the June meeting be received? That's Councillor Gangell moved, seconded by Councillor Mikichuk. All those in favour? It's passed unanimously. 5.1B, that they are confirmed as a true record. Councillor Gangell moved, seconded Councillor Mikichuk. All those in favour? That is passed unanimously. Item 6, announcements. I just want to bring people's attention to the briefing session next Monday from WAPC in regards to the Ashfield Flats restoration project that's being held downstairs at 7 p.m, I believe. So that isn't the town's consultation, but we are hosting it on behalf of the organisations whose plan that is. So it would be great to have input from as many community members as possible so that we get a great outcome for that project. Item 7, petitions.
I haven't received any, Your Worship.
Okay, so no petitions received. Item 8, declarations of interest.
Councillor Quinton has queried whether she needs to declare an interest in the item about decisions made by the building surveyor.
Haven't we always been told that's a decision that's already been made, we can't influence?
I would have think the council would consider that trivial because the decision's already been made.
Thank you. There's no business deferred from the previous meeting, so we'll move on to item 10, which is the reports. Coming out of en bloc, I currently have item 10.2, 10.3, 10.5, 10.7, 10.8, 10.17, 10.18 and 13.1. Are there any other items that councillors... Yes, Councillor Hamilton? Sorry, did you say 10.6?
No, I didn't. Would you like that out?
Yep. 10.6, that's the facilities audit. Any further items?
And 10.11.
10.11, the Economic Development Committee?
Yep.
Okay, is everybody happy? Okay, in that case, can I have a mover for the remainder of the items to be passed en bloc? Councillor Mikichuk moved, seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favour? That is passed unanimously. So we're moving on to item 10.2, which is the corporate business plan. Before I ask for a mover for the officer recommendation, are there any questions that councillors have for the staff? Councillor Hamilton?
Yep. Although some of them were answered by yourself prior to the meeting, so I'll just flip through.
So just while you're looking through that, obviously this is still a draft document. If there are any particular wording changes and so on, councillors can just feed them back to you after the meeting.
Is that right? That's correct. Okay.
That's just corrections of words.
Yeah.
Not
do a corporate business plan.
Okay, there was page 34, and we've got the asset management policy, and down in the box section, we've got Pickering Park installation of amenities such as ablution block, showers, water fountain, etc. Did raise that in the workshop.
So they were the projects that came out of the facilities audit, is that correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
So you were questioning the Pickering Park?
The reason I raised that one is because I don't see that as being in our current year's budget, but also I have a reservation about that one because we already have degraded facilities around the town in various reserves with our toilets and what have you. So I don't know that we need to add another
one. So just to clarify, are you asking a question about it or you're proposing to make a change?
My question is, because we raised this or I raised it at the workshop as being something that may not be advantageous, I'm wondering, is it supposed to stay in there or...
So maybe, Councillor Hamilton, you might like to move the officer recommendation and propose an amendment to it and see if it's got support from your fellow councillors. Would that be appropriate?
Well, I would recommend removal of that one.
Okay, so before we do that, are there any other questions for staff? Okay, so Councillor Hamilton, I believe you're moving the officer recommendation for 10.2, but you're amending it by removing the Pickering Park project under the asset management policy. Is that correct?
No, are we going to deal with the amendment first? Because it is a departure from the officer's recommendation.
So Felicia can move it with an amendment, and if she doesn't get a seconder, then we can...
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we've had Councillor Hamilton move it with the amendment. There's a seconder with Councillor Gandrill. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? And that's passed unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Item 10.3, which is the draft budget. So, Mr. Stuart Dawkins, I had some conversations with you this afternoon in relation to the Pickering Park boat ramp project. So this was brought up at the workshop recently and we didn't have all of the information, so I'm sure everyone's received some of that information in the interim. Would you mind sharing some of the discussion that we had today so that all councils are aware of the...
Yes, thank you. I had a conversation with the Department of Transport in regards to the Pickering Park and the boat ramp, and they've suggested that there's three options for council if they with that issue. Council can potentially continue to allocate the funding, of course, and it doesn't actually commit Council to go on to the next stage. They can simply use it as a planning document to understand what the community needs are for that area. The other option is that, and so they, therefore they don't need to then continue to expend any capital funds. The other option is to write to the Department of Transport to advise that due to other funding priorities in 2018-19, that the Town of Bassendean request Pickering boat ramp and study be completed, a completion date be extended to a particular date, if they would prefer. Or the third one would be that they, the Council can simply write to the Department and advise that due to other funding priorities at the time, the Town of Bassendean wishes to withdraw from the Pickering Park boat ramp study.
So if one of those options that required that involved us not accepting the grant funding at this point in time, that would require a revocation motion?
I think it's based on the feedback I've received. In July 2017, there was a notice of motion, sorry, there was a resolution of council to affix the common seal to the agreement. So it would be best if there was a revocation in regards to that particular item, mm-hmm. So that's actually on the record, and then the resolution that council, write to advise of the particular outcome that council wishes to.
And before you sit down, just a couple of the other things that we discussed is at the workshop there were some issues brought up. So it was mentioned that there'd been some complaints by residents, and then when you went and looked at that, I believe that it was minimal.
Yes, there has been some concern expressed to both previous councillors of a previous council, mm-hmm. and to staff in regards to the accessibility of the car park, mm-hmm. and the boat ramp area. So there was some minor changes that were made to the boundary of the car park to facilitate better movement of vehicles, but it's been a temporary measure, mm-hmm. and so that's why there was actually an application for this grant funding, and we've been successful in getting that grant. So this is to actually undertake a study that would actually look at the number of boat and trailer movements in and out of this particular car park, and then looking at trying to improve the facility for accessibility for people to get onto the boats and off the boats when they've actually finished launching. The boat ramp is the current boat ramp is structurally sound. It's functioning okay. It's just that there have been complaints to a previous council and to staff about the functionality of the space.
Yeah, and that point you make about it being functional, that was something that was really important that you raised today. That you consider it to be safe. It's not dangerous, and that the complaints have been fairly minimal from the community.
Yes, they have been minimal, but they had been to councillors, yeah. and to staff, but we have received some.
Thank you.
Okay,
Councillor Mikicic.
I'd like to move the officer recommendation.
Hold on, can we just see if there's any other questions first? Sorry, Councillor Gandry.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a quick one. I just note that Mr. Reid isn't here tonight. Is he an apology?
He's on leave.
He's on leave.
So he should have been.
He's in Wales, actually.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Unfortunately, the person who's filling in for him, his wife is critically ill, and he's not here tonight.
Oh, okay, we just need to record. Apologies.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Further questions? Councillor Hamilton, can I
just follow up on the Pickering Park boat ramp? Having read the conditions of the application, it appears that car parking would need to be expanded to accommodate cars with their boats for parking, which means that we would possibly impinge upon the existing green space. My concern, as I expressed in the workshop, was that this might have a domino effect in that we do a study, we end up with a plan for something that we possibly can't afford, we have to extend the car park, and then we've got a road with roundabouts that might well need to be accommodating bigger boats. So I had extreme reservations about this particular thing. But I'm also interested...
Is it a question for...
Yes, I am interested in the three options that you offered or suggested. Does the department have any problems with deferring this, and if we want to reconsider it next year, in the next budget?
No, they don't. They've indicated that they've come across this issue with previous other local authorities, where one local authority accepts a grant and then another council comes in and they've got some concerns. So it gives the new council some time to consider the issues and then to make a determination. So if that was the case, we would write to the department advising or requesting an extension, because the current grant needs to be expended by the 31st of July 2019. So we'd have to request an extension potentially until the 31st of July 2020.
Okay. And what's the nearest large boat round? I think we have one very close in Bayswater, is that correct?
Yes, I think
so. We may well be duplicating things just up the river.
Look, that's up to council to make the determination. I mean, part of the study was to do, part of this project is to do a study about the requirements within the area, but more particularly about servicing our own Bassendean ratepayers with a boat ramp.
Okay, Councillor Brown.
Thank you. So the existing boat ramp is safe and adequate for small vessels? But the one in Bayswater, which is closer to many Bassendean residents than Bayswater residents, is open to and for the use of Bassendean residents as well.
Yes,
it's within 200 metres of our southern boundary.
Yes, look, the City of Bayswater's boat ramp would be open to all members of the public to use.
That's free of charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, that's right.
Thank you.
I think we might have exhausted the boat ramp questions. Are there other questions councillors would like to ask? Councillor Hamilton.
This is a curiosity question, mainly because I don't know. For Mr. Costarello, probably. What qualifies for a non-rateable property and an exempt property? We have over 300 or 400 of them. So.
Yes, things like churches and schools.
Oh, okay, right.
Yep.
It's fine. Like I said, curiosity.
Okay. Further questions? Councillor Hamilton?
Okay. On page... I can read it.
Is this in the budget or the report?
It's in the attachment. Page 12. We have a very large difference. Again, this is for Mr. Costarello. We have a very large difference in the sundry creditors between last year and what is proposed for this coming year. Over 560,000. I was curious about that as well. Don't understand it.
Which page are you on, sorry?
It's very faintly written in blue down the bottom, page 12. 12, and it is part of the...
So assessing the closing surplus.
Yep.
Assessing the closing surplus, we have to estimate what sum of creditors we're going to have at the end of the financial year. It's only an estimate.
Okay, right. Moving on. Okay, we also have a decrease in the expenditure proposed for the internal auditor. It's only $4,000, but I would have thought with auditing internal, we would have been going up in price.
Which page are you on, Councillor Hamilton?
That is page 23.
Thank you.
Can I also ask, we could have the page numbers in a darker colour next time.
Is it right? The $4,000, are you talking about the write-off?
Internal audit service.
Internal audit remuneration. We're proposing the actual expenditure was $25,500 in 2017-18, and we're going to forecast down to $21,000. And I was just curious why we're going down in value instead of up.
We budgeted $15,000. We had some additional services for our contract inquiries.
Okay.
Yeah. We
ordered. Right.
Won't happen next year.
Thank you.
Capital Works Program. I am curious about Surrey Street. We have $150,000 in the Capital Works Program, but we also additionally in the consultancies have another $52,000 for architect. So that's over $200,000. I was under the impression that we're only allocating $150,000 total. So I'm
Through the chair. So the $150,000 is allocated for the capital side of the project.
Yes, I can see that.
So we can call tenders. The $50,000 is there so that we can. There potentially will be some changes made to the detailed drawings and specifications as a result of a council decision that may be made tonight. And also, should council accept a tender from a heritage builder to undertake the construction works, we need to have the architect to supervise that heritage builder. So it's a requirement that we have that in there. So it's provisionally an allocation made for this year so that we can progress with any decisions that council may make.
$52,000 for the architect does seem a little excessive given the minimal amount of architectural work, because we did ask to work within the footprint of the existing plans. And I do understand that we need the architect to supervise.
Yes.
So Mr. Stuart Dawkins seemed to indicate to me earlier today that may not all be required, but it was...
No, we, because this, when the budget was being prepared, we obviously don't know what council's expecting of us to do. So the changes to the drawings might be in the vicinity of $10,000 or thereabouts, but we don't actually know at this stage. And so then there's a provisional amount allocated for the architect to actually supervise the contractor. Again, depends on when the contract starts, when council appoints the builder, and how much work the actual architect might undertake within that time frame. So if the builder is only appointed towards the very end of the year, the work that the architect would have to do would be quite minimal, so there'd be potentially a cost saving there within that draft allocation. But at this stage, we don't want to... Well, we need to have a draft, some provisional amount in there so that we have sufficient funds to be able to progress the project.
Shall I keep going?
If you've got questions.
Okay. Hamilton Street, we seem to have, again, it's split between the Capital Works Program and we've got, I think it's $30,000 in the Capital Works Program, we've got $50,800 in the consultancies. I'm assuming the $30,000 is for connecting sewerage or water or something like that, and I'm assuming the $50,800 is possibly for that dirt pile. Would that be correct?
Yes, you are correct in regards to this funding required for moving the material that's there now and cleaning that site up, bringing in the final clean spoil, and also bringing in services. There was a resolution that council required to bring in services to the site before the land swap occurs.
So this is an extra $80,000 over and above the $180,000 or $90,000 that we've already spent on what was supposed to be a land swap.
That's correct.
Right, okay. I did make a suggestion regarding the play equipment for Padbury Park. There's $10,000 allocation, which I have no objection to, but my suggestion was at the workshop that we might possibly look at sourcing that.
I believe the staff took that recommendation on board, so instead of allocating
excellent.
It.
Yep. Okay. Now the Broadway, $44,100. Again, in the workshop, I felt that more concrete paths were. What I would ask for that,
Councillor Hammer, so my understanding of that is, and again, like I heard you saying that at the time, mm-hmm. and I believe the staff heard that as well. So the plan was to do an inspection with councillors, and then that pool of money is available, and we can make a decision after that time.
That's what I was going to ask. If we can actually have it come to us before we.
Yes.
So. The extract list of projects and consultancies, the play space, oh, okay, I know what that one is, forget that. The Town of Bassendean history book, we were going to be told what was the status on that, and I still don't know what the story is on that one, whether it's...
There is somewhat of a dispute currently, and I don't wish to discuss it in public.
Okay.
But that matter will be resolved, I believe, in the near future.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Councillor Hamilton, without meaning to be disrespectful, could I request that questions that will influence your decision about the budget tonight be asked, and we can get updates on projects like that at another time?
Okay. There's a couple of mistakes, I think, in the document, which I don't know how that influences. We've got an amendment, we've got DFES NDFR grant monies, but it's listed as council allocation, but it's at the beginning of the sentence it's grants, so I'm assuming that's a mistake in the document.
So is that an error that can be corrected, Mr. Costarella?
Yeah. We also, in the waste management stickers, we have that listed fully as a council allocation when there's a grant associated with that, which obviously will change the bottom line.
Okay, excuse me, Councillor
Yes.
Mitchell.
I just wanted to point out that given we're still under standing orders for Councillor Hamilton to stand.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton, I think she was asking you to stand.
Yes. Okay. And I think... I think that might be it. Oh, I did have one other request, which, again, I'm not sure how this will be received, but I noticed on the fees and charges, because we didn't have the individual fees and charges when we went through the workshop, but vehicle impounding and administration fees, vehicle towing fees, vehicle reclaim fees, we actually charge less for that than what we do for animals going to the shelters. So I was wondering if that might be something that perhaps could go up a little bit, because I do think that...
Is there a rationale for that, that fee?
Through the chair. yes, look, we have a contract with the company, so that's the fee that they charge us, and so we're simply on charging that fee to people who need to have their vehicles.
Okay.
It's rather generously low then.
Okay, so are there any other questions? Otherwise, I believe Councillor Mikichuk was attempting to move the officer recommendation.
I do have questions.
Yes, sorry, Councillor.
Just wanted to be absolutely sure that the $550,000 for the Sandy Beach Nature-Based Playground, which is not listed in the 2018-19, on page 14, is actually going to get transferred across to this year. Sure.
So the money for that isn't coming from rates, so it doesn't actually affect the...
Still, it's not listed, and it can say that it's not from rates in the budget, though, before we...
The Sandy Bridge?
Yeah.
So we have it in...
So it was in the previous year, but it's not carried across.
But that was money that we were going to use from the sale of the blocks, but because we didn't sell the blocks...
Okay. So how do we budget for the playground this year?
This year? We're not budgeting for the playground this year. We're budgeting for the playground next year.
Got it. Okay. And just for the Living Streams, Plan for Living Streams, AP1812, is that just a plan for the Living Streams, or is that to construct the Living Stream? Sorry, I wasn't sure what
that's okay.
to do with that.
No, that's okay. Just to clarify, Council resolved to write to the Department of Water with a list of potential projects. We have received a correspondence back from the department saying that they're undertaking a study down in Chapman Street. So that was one of the projects that we listed. But to progress the other potential projects, it's to actually produce a plan for one of the other projects.
Do we have any capital works funding?
No, because all those drains are all within the Department of Water's responsibility. They're not Town of Bassendean land.
We wouldn't have to pay for it?
No, we would.
Well, we're not sure exactly at this stage what kind of funding we would get for it, but it's certainly not our land. And
would it be feasible that we would get to construction stage within this financial
no,
year?
No.
Right. Okay, thanks.
I have a meeting with the Director General of the Department of Water. Mr. Costarella's going to have the meeting now. Asking about the Living Stream funding, because it hasn't been clarified for us what funding will be available, and it's an issue that we're going to be raising directly with the Director General.
That's interesting, because I previously had contact with them and they said that the funding had to be to come from the local government, but hopefully if they can change their mind,
well,
that would
be
fantastic.
See. We want to find out about the funding.
And it's a bit of an aside, but has there been any further contact with the manager of that program? We've requested they come and present to council.
Through the chair, there's a meeting actually scheduled for tomorrow.
Okay.
I think it's tomorrow the 25th?
Yes.
Yeah,
excellent.
25th.
Thank you.
I just wanted to let staff and councillors know that I had a quick conversation with our local member, Dave Kelly, Within the town of Vincent, they have water fountains. So I've asked the water minister whether he could look into the town of Bassendean getting some of those water court water fountains. So I just want to let you know I've had that conversation.
That would be wonderful. Okay, Councillor Hamilton.
If we wish to propose amendments to the officer's recommendation,
yep.
Because obviously we've highlighted, some of us have highlighted some various things in this, and there's so many of them.
You're seeking clarification of the process, is that?
Yes, please.
Okay, so what I was proposing is that a large amount of the officer recommendation, I suspect council will be supportive of. It's going to be some of these projects that people potentially want included or excluded. So what I would suggest is if we get a mover and a seconder for the officer recommendation, and then if there are any items that individual councillors would like to propose to be included or excluded, we can deal with them as amendments. And if that amendment is supported by the majority council, it can become part of the substantive motion. Councillor Gangell?
Happy to move the officer recommendation as stated.
Okay. Seconded by Councillor Wilson. Okay. Would any council like to propose any amendments then? Councillor Mikichuk?
Yes, I'd like to propose several amendments. Before I do so, can I just gain clarity?
Can we do one amendment at a time, please? Yep.
Okay. Can I just ask for clarity on point 16? There's a number of things there. Some of them will be incurred costs to council. Some will be savings.
Yes.
I'm not clear in the way it's presented.
So
there's just... Maybe the ones that confuse me are, for instance, Kelly Park. That seems to be an imposition on costs. It should be in the brackets. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, through the chair, just to clarify as well, with one amendment at a time, are you saying at this point I will can only state one?
I think it will get too confusing because if there are elements of your amendment that some people will support and not others, then...
Okay.
Yeah. What was your proposal?
I have several amendments. I'm just not sure what to go with.
Okay. Well, do you want to read them out and then we can see?
Sure. Okay. So, my amendments are 2.4, councillor meeting fees, to increase the amount from 16,000 to 17,000. 0.5.
Hold on.
Yep.
Okay. Let's deal with them
one
at a time.
Like you mean one time.
Yep. Okay. So Councillor Mikichuk has moved that point four of the officer recommendation, which currently, pardon?
The salaries and
set of max.
Yes. Set of maximum. I think from memory it's about 16,600.
Yep. Okay.
You're very close to the top.
Yeah.
And you can't go above that.
Okay. Okay, so you're withdrawing that amendment?
May I go to 16,500?
Maybe you want to specify the maximum that is allowable under the salaries. Is that
okay?
Yep.
I would like to do
so. Okay. So, Councillor Kitchik has moved that amendment for point four, that councillors' meeting fees of $16,000 for the 2018-19 be paid quarterly in arrears, but the $16,000 be changed to the maximum allowable under the salaries. Whatever. Okay. So we've got a mover with Councillor Kitchik. Is there a seconder? Okay. So that seconded by Councillor Quinton. Is there anybody against? Councillor Wilson? Okay, would you like to debate it at all, Councillor Mikichuk?
Yes, certainly. People may be conscious of the fact that we are just about to adopt a budget, and why is my First Amendment in regards to a very minor amount for councillors? I have never in my life seen a group of people that work so hard and so tirelessly for the benefit of others. In fact, not only do they do so, but often the issues that brought them to council are far beyond their control. I think the structure of local government means that often people have to work a full-time job because the amount that is provided for in the allowances does not permit them to take more time to do such an important role. And I often reflect on what limits me in my role, and it's time. I think, so in fact, this isn't asking for really, although it seems or appears to be a monetary incentive, it's the ability to buy people a little bit more time to give that valuable service to the community. And people who sacrifice so much, and I don't think, unless you've been a counsellor, people realise just how much you give up. And may I reiterate, not for your own benefit, because issues that are close to my heart and some which I will never be able to control. So I think it is evident and factual that it cannot be for my own benefit. And I would ask people, regardless of being unaware that we were close to the maximum, I was very conscious of making it a very minimal increase, because I also appreciate that the figure I've proposed is times seven, and that adds up. I would like to also point out, with some of the discussions we've had in the workshop, we've made significant savings, and we, you know, our rate rise is in line with CPI. And I'd just like to finish by saying this is to provide an even better service to the community, and hopefully answer some emails quicker and do various other things. So thank you.
Thank you.
I would encourage councillors to support the amendment.
Thank you. I didn't think of doing this until you raised it, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. Just doing some simple maths, currently we get paid $8.20 an hour, and I know that I don't know of any workplace that pays you $8.20 an hour. For the extra $6, we don't get holiday pay, we pay our own super, we pay our own tax. We get no support from for any outside our car, anything like that. We get a communications allowance, and so we should, because the amount of time I spend on my internet and my phone, an extra $600 a year will bring us up to a whole whopping $8.50 an hour. I don't think the community is going to begrudge us a 30 cents an hour increase. It's really $600 each. And as Councillor Mikichuk has said, we have made significant savings. Not that we have to be rewarded for that, because this is our job. That's what we get elected to do. But think about this in terms of a workplace. This is a workplace. We make decisions, and we are grossly underpaid for that.
So just before anyone else speaks, Mr. Costarella has kindly gone and looked up what the maximum would be. And your hourly rate would not be going up as you expect. It would be to $16,205.
Okay.
Councillor Wilson.
Can I speak first?
Not yet.
Not yet?
You can be next. Councillor Wilson.
The Salaries and Allowances Tribunal canvassed all of the matters that Councillor Mikichuk and Quinton discussed in their judgment on the 11th of April 2017, and their recommendation, after having considered all of those factors, was that there be a 0% increase for this year, that there be no increase at this time in remuneration, fees, expenses or allowances for CEOs and elected members. I'd like to think that they have much better information at their disposal than I do. I'd like to think that the conclusions that they have come to are sound and evidence-based, and as such, I would support their recommendation that there be a 0% increase. So I understand that everyone here works very hard. However, if we were to increase it to 16,500, as Councillor Mikichuk suggests...
2,500.
No, 2005.
2005.
16,205.
We're not asking for an increase.
It's the maximum.
We're
it's
asking
maximum.
For the maximum.
Which would be an increase on what we're currently getting.
No, you're talking about...
Okay, excuse me, just let Councillor Wilson finish.
I crave your protection, Your Worship. Thank you. We currently receive 16,000 a year. Any increase to 16,000 a year would represent an increase to councillors. If we increased it by times 1.0, Sorry, what was the suggested figure?
It can only go another $205.
No, no. The suggested figure was initially...
Because that's the top of the range.
The initial figure was 17,000 and then it was 16,600, but that was incorrect. It's 16,205.
To clarify, my amendment is for 16,205.
Yeah.
Thank you for the clarification. That would still be amount that is greater than received by staff in their EBA increase, and I would not support giving an increase to my payment at a figure that was above that which the staff would receive in their union negotiated agreement. I would implore other councillors to show some restraint and to keep the councillor fees at the rate at which they currently set.
Thank you. Councillor Brown.
Yeah, it's largely symbolic, any rise. I have a debate discussion with my neighbour, Christine Fisher, who's the wife of a previous mayor. When we talk about the amount councillors receive today, part of the debate was the level of communication her husband, rest in peace, had to have. He had a home phone and he attended meetings, and occasionally he would go shopping, the local shopping centre, and be approached by members of the community. Today we find ourselves in a position that councillors have a far greater level of communication and probably less support than some of the other bigger councillors. You can shake your head if you like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Yes.
But I can tell you have email, you have mobile phone messaging, you have Skype, you have Facebook. Each and every one of those is a method of communicating with councillors or members of the community that must be responded to. So the position of councillor is far more onerous than it was. I don't even know if I'm going to vote for the amendment, but I just wanted to get that out there. How much more onerous the position of councillor is these days. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further speakers? Councillor Mikichuk.
So in closing, I think I've outlined a lot of my arguments for why I proposed this amendment. And you're right, it is largely symbolic. But I think the reality is that hopefully that money buys a bit more time. And ultimately, I want to stress, allows people to do their job better, if that's possible, or in whatever form you choose to look at it. I'd just like to respond to Councillor Wilson's points in regards to the tribunal's determination. So there has been a maximum set, and I do not seek to go above that. My previous proposal was, I was ignorant of that cap. So I want to reiterate that I'm not asking anyone to go above and beyond of what is already provided for. And I would just like to touch on Councillor Brown's points that it's pretty much 24/7 and there's not a lot of boundaries in there. So I think there needs to be acknowledgement of, you know, normally people go to work, you start, you finish. That doesn't exist on council, and I think, yeah, we need to recognise that. And my final point is, we do this job out of service and getting good outcomes for our community, not ourselves, because if you're in it for personal benefit, you know, people sacrifice a lot. So I'd really urge councillors to support it. And look, we're all living the experience, so reflect on your own experience. Thank you.
Okay, so all those in favour of the amendment, we've got Councillor Mikichuk and Quinton, and those against, Councillor Wilson, Gangell, Hamilton, Brown and McLennan. Okay, so that is lost. Is there any another amendment that Council would like to put forward?
Yes.
Councillor Mikichuk?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so given the current vote, on principle, I'm going to propose this amendment knowing that it is unlikely to get up. 0.5, the mayor's meeting fee, from 25,000 to the maximum. And that is in recognition of, I've never seen a woman work so hard and give up so much and work so tirelessly for the benefit of others. And I'm making this statement because, it's about equity. So whether this is won or lost or whatever happens, I want to acknowledge that we're a team of seven. And Your Worship, you work incredibly hard. And that doesn't go unrecognised.
Thank you. Can I just respond to that? So thank you. And while I've got the opportunity, I agree that this group of people works incredibly hard. And it's a real honour to work with all of you. But I will point out that initially, Mr. Costarella had in here, was it under the sitting fees or the other?
Yeah.
So he actually had an additional 6,000 in there. And I asked him to take it out. So you can put this to the vote if you want. But so Councillor Mikuchuk has moved that. Is there a seconder? Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. So that is lost. Another amendment.
Yes, again on principle, and hopefully this is short and sweet. 0.5, that the mayor's meeting fee of 25,000. Oh, sorry, 0.6, local government allowance, a 36,000 be paid to the mayor for an increase to the maximum. For the same reasons, I'd ask councillors to consider and support the amendment.
Thank you. So we've got a mover. Is there a seconder? Okay, so that is lost. Thank you, Councillor Mikuchuk.
And I have one final proposed amendment. So, item 16,
yep.
I would like to propose for inclusion in that list an amount of $10,000 for a Bindaring hydrology study.
So this was something that was raised briefly at the workshop. Mr. Stuart Dawkins, this would fall under your portfolio, I believe. Yep, so can you give councillors a bit of an update? Because I believe this is something that's been discussed, but we hadn't had the key stakeholders' feedback to us about the progress on this project.
excuse me. Yes, thank you. Yes, there was some information provided to councillors via the bulletin as well in regards to this issue. There was a council resolution to arrange a workshop with the Department of Biodiversity and Department of Water, and we have attempted to arrange that meeting for a workshop for elected members, councillors. The department's advised us that they would prefer to provide a letter of response back to council. So on the 5th of July, we had a meeting, I think it was the 5th, had a meeting with the Department of Biodiversity to explain the council resolution. And so to date, we haven't received that letter. I did provide some information in the bulletin about the estimated cost to do a hydrological study. Depending on the scope, to do some further work, we're anticipating it would be about 50,000. But again, we don't know exactly what the scope is that council wants to achieve because there hasn't been a resolution. Of course, there's information on the table, but there's not a full resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a guide to assist councillors.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions on the amendment?
Sorry. Not that amendment.
No,
sorry.
Is there a second?
No.
Got a question?
Yes. The question relates to the funds that are currently earmarked to be surplus. Should we receive a response to the correspondence that Mr. Stuart Dawkins mentioned, would we at a later time be able to use the surplus funds to draw down on in order to fund the hydrological study?
So you're saying if we don't specifically allocate them at this point in time, if there is surplus, could we use it for that purpose? Is that your question?
Yes.
If we don't do it now, we'd have a separate report to council.
There is a formal budget review in February as well, which might be actually quite timely.
Okay.
But I can list it here.
Yep.
And my second question is the guesstimate of $50,000. What would that be based on?
Look, it was quite yes. Look, it's. The scope of the project obviously hasn't been determined. I mean, and even the, say, for example, the $10,000, what is it specifically that council would like to achieve with that? Is it just a small area? Or which particular area within the within Bindarring Park would that study be undertaken? So I think maybe it might be officers' recommendation would be that we'd wait until we receive this feedback from the department, and then we can have some discussions with council at a workshop in regards to that issue, and we can firm up any estimates to assist as part of the February budget review, perhaps.
Okay, thank you. Further questions, Councillor Hamilton?
Not on this topic.
Okay, so we've got a mover for the amendment to include $10,000 for the Bindarring Park hydrology study. Is there a seconder for the Councillor Wilson? Is that against Councillor Ganjo?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship.
Councillor Mikichuk?
So the Bindarring wetland is an exceptionally valuable asset to our community, and one of the major tasks of the River Parks Committee since I've been elected is to review the three concept plans. Prior to this, as you have heard, we had asked the relevant stakeholders to come to a workshop and provide us for advice. I guess going back one more step, there were multiple proposals put up and a resolution of the River Parks Committee regarding, what should we say, the restoration or remediation of the site. In order to assess the merit of those, it was deemed that we require further information, and specifically further information about how the water flows from the urban area into the wetland and what would be the impact, I guess, of connectivity of the wetland. And in order to answer any of those questions, regardless of which part of the wetland the money is for, there will need to be an allocation for further modelling. That has been very apparent and very clear. And while it may, you know, fall under what's required, I think it's important to acknowledge that there will be additional modelling required and put aside some money. So I'd ask councillors to consider and support the amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. Having read the Kotira report, I found it to be quite heavy on landscaping features and quite light on below water hydrology movements, and I support Councillor Mikichuk's desire to ensure that we have all of that information at hand so that we can make proper decisions about the future of Bindarring Wetland.
Thank you, Councillor
Gandrel. Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this can be regarded as nothing other than policy budgeting on the run. We're here tonight to adopt the budget. This is something that has largely come completely out of the blue. What we have is a recommendation for a $10,000 commitment. We've heard the officer say it could be potentially $50,000, a difference of $40,000. What we've also heard the officers explain is that there is, in fact, a budget review process that is undertaken in February that would be obviously an opportune, in my point of view, an opportune time to look at this matter when council does have further costings in front of us, has a further report, rather than simply deciding what to throw in, not knowing what the actual cost is, and the fact that there could be a substantial difference somewhere in excess of 40k of more. So I would urge the councillors to support the budget that has been thoroughly workshopped through, that has, I would say, broad agreement from councillors rather than deciding to make policy budgeting on the run. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak for the motion? Against the motion? Councillor Brown?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I agree with Councillor Gangell that we will have a better understanding
of some of the budget flexibilities or inflexibilities by February. I think that would be the proper time to make this decision. I wholeheartedly agree that the hydrological study needs to be done, but perhaps that is the best time for it to be undertaken or to be budgeted for.
Thank you. Councillor Mikicic.
So, in closing, I think I've made most of my points, but suffice to say that it's a community asset, it's valuable. We've kind of reached a bit of a stall, I guess, because we don't have the adequate information, and we've invested lots of money on preparing concept plans, and I guess regardless of the advice we receive, we will need to conduct further modelling to be able to understand the implications of the suggestions and make sound decisions. And for that reason, I'd urge people to support the amendment. Just in response to Councillor Gangell's comments, I have probably raised this matter at each workshop, and in between, I have also, on numerous occasions, discussed with staff trying to get an answer from the department and feedback earlier to inform this decision. So it is very thoughtful, it is very considered, and it is extremely far from on the run. I think, if anything, the limiting factors were bureaucracy and not having a response from the appropriate agency. So I'd just like to close on that note and urge councillors to support the amendment.
Okay, so all those in favour of the amendment, so we've got Councillor Wilson, Mikicic, Hamilton, Quinton, McLennan, and against is Councillor Gangell and Councillor Brown. So that is carried. Further amendments? Okay. Councillor Hamilton?
Can I ask a question?
Of course you can.
Just at the moment. It was one that I missed earlier. We have the money aside for the three bin system,
mm-hmm.
and we're obviously charging ratepayers $5 extra.
In the waste
I'm levy? Assuming that this will fall into the next financial year, but I'm putting the question out there because I'm not entirely sure. We will obviously have some ratepayers who will not go for the standard 140 litre red litter bin that we are proposing, that some will go up in size. Now, if that's the case, we had originally spoken about a sliding scale of charges, and would I be correct in assuming that that would come into the following year when there is...
Yes, you're correct.
Right, okay, so we'll not worry about that
yes.
at the moment. So the $5 is just for the purchase of the bins, but obviously prior to the purchase, there will be have some sort of survey
so
and education.
Yeah, so the $5
program.
Is the increase in the waste levy, and that also
yes.
covers the
yes.
staff member, the
yep.
education.
Exactly,
yep, yep.
exactly.
Okay.
And the fees and charges in the following year will have the extra cost
okay.
there if somebody wants to have a different bin.
That's fine. Now, in respect to amendments, one at a time, the hybrid... The vehicle for the HACC purchase.
Hack.
I was going to suggest that instead of just buying a standard vehicle, that we explore the feasibility of the purchase of a hybrid or an electric vehicle if the prices are comparable.
Can I just seek some clarification from staff? Because that particular vehicle is a fairly large one, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, so those vehicles are determined by the needs of the clients as much as anything else. So the width of the opening of the doors, the height of the seats, and those
okay.
sorts of considerations are taken.
Okay.
They
so that limits you.
They are principally the major issues, how wide the door opens, and Home and Community Care have a list of vehicles which they see as meeting those needs.
So would it be difficult to request staff to at least look at the feasibility of, you know...
No, they certainly can look at it. Can't guarantee it'll be successful, though, Councillor.
No. So do we just leave that with you or try an amendment?
I'm happy to be guided by the Council in that regard and to instruct that, that be taken into consideration in the selection.
Does that satisfy you?
Yes.
Yep.
I was going to suggest a reduction in the architect's costs, but I will accept what Mr. Dawkins, Stuart Dawkins, has said about not necessarily expending all that funding. The amendment for Padbury Park play equipment, I would suggest that that become a nature-based small playground supplied and installed by a community group, if possible.
Yep. So I believe that's sort of, is that something that's, that was at the workshop, and you, I believe you've covered off on that and said that that's the intention of the staff? Yep.
Okay. So we don't need to put that in there, correct?
Mr. Graham, Mr. Haggart's listening, I think.
Again, I would suggest that the capital works program for Broadway be coming before council, as we explained previously. I would move an amendment that the Pickering Park boat ramp, that a letter be written to the authority deferring until the following financial year.
Okay. So, Mr. Stuart Dawkins sent me an email today, and this was the wording of that option. So I believe the amendment you're proposing is... Oh, goodness me. Hold on. Is... My apologies, you don't have it with you, do you? Oh, actually, I've got it here now too. That council write to the Department of Transport to advise that due to other funding priorities in the 2018-2019 budget, that the town of Bassendean requests the Pickering Park boat ramp and jetty planning study completion date be extended to the 31st of July 2020. Is that what you were suggesting?
Yes, unless other councillors prefer to dump it completely.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Would the would the study involve a transport study?
No. We're currently conducting a transport study at the moment with URUP, and there's a workshop planned coming up. I think there's some planning actually occurring at the moment to arrange a workshop with councillors. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't specifically go into boat...
No,
traffic.
No, it doesn't come into boat traffic. No, but this particular study, this will look at the amount of traffic that's currently using the boat ramp.
Okay. So we've got. So that's what you're moving. That.
Yeah.
So are you proposing an additional point 20 that? So we take out to the budget that council writes to the Department of Transport, as I previously read out. Does that satisfy you?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got Council Hamilton's moved that amendment. Is there a seconder for the amendment? Okay, so that Councillor Brown has seconded the motion. Is there anybody against? Councillor Mikichuk, Councillor Hamilton, would you like to?
Okay. There was discussion at the workshop about priorities on where we should spend money in the town. Obviously, I expressed concerns that this particular project, if we're spending $90,000 total on a consultant just to bring up plans, then it's quite likely that the total cost of a project would be well beyond what we want to spend on the establishment of a new boat ramp and car parking, etc. And then, of course, I indicated that the domino effect, that there would also be the problem that if we have expanded boat launching facilities at Pickering Park, that we then will have to address the road and the roundabouts, which are not particularly suited to even medium-sized boats, let alone larger boats. So I think that we have an issue there where none of these things have been adequately resolved in our own minds, let alone proceeding to pour money into a consultant. I think that in respect for the councillors and their differing opinions around this table, that I would propose that we wait a year and then look at this again. My initial reaction when I first read about this was to completely jump it and say no, mainly because there is a boat launching facility, quite a good one, just down the road in Bayswater. So, you know, half a dozen one or the other. We either delay it for a year or we park it and just don't do anything with it at all. So these are the thoughts I've had about this. I think that this town, we have a whole host of ageing facilities, ageing infrastructure. there are so many things that need the money that comes in with rates. I think this is one of the least priority things that I've come across.
Thank you. Councillor Brown?
Yes, thank you. I've already given my opinion on whether we need one or not. We have an adequate small boat ramp, launching ramp. I don't believe it needs to become a large boat launching ramp. I believe people should be encouraged to use the facilities at Bayswater, which is adequate and services that stretch of the metropolitan area between Perth and Bassendean. I think it's an extravagance to create what will become a regional boat ramp as well. With all the safety concerns surrounding that, you start to get large vessels in there, there are safety concerns for the community and other people using that park, and the imposition on some of the green space that we do cherish, because inevitably we would have to take some of that back.
Thank you. Councillor Vickership?
Yes. I'd like to wholeheartedly agree with the comments of Councillor Hamilton and Councillor Brown. I think that many councillors have raised concerns or, in fact, felt like that this is not a priority for the town at this stage. I think we were uncertain of all the information. We asked for further clarification.
Sorry, Councillor Gadget.
Sorry, Your Worship.
Can I just point of order? We're speaking, Councillor Mitchell is speaking against?
I think it's about the deferral.
Oh, okay.
But I can still speak against that amendment. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought.
Sorry, Councillor.
We asked for the provision of information, which we have been provided with. I feel like I've had an opportunity to evaluate that and not wish to defer it, because I think I personally have had adequate information to say this isn't a priority. And we've spoke many times about making plans, and if the plans aren't going to eventuate in a project that we don't support, I believe it would be more fiscally responsible and just in terms of resources to make the decision here and now. I don't believe there would be any further information that would be forthcoming that would change my opinion on this matter, and I would urge councillors to consider it, but to be decisive and not vote for this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
To defer.
Madam Mayor, I'm willing to withdraw my amendment if Councillor Mikachuf would like to propose an alternative amendment to...
So in the current officer's recommendation, it includes to exclude the Pickering Park boat ramp. Yes, am I correct? So we wouldn't need to amend it if you're not wanting it in there. We would just need to revoke the previous council decision. So
okay.
If that's what you're
Let's
proposing.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
You want it back in?
No. So
okay.
If it's coming out and if councillors are supporting excluding it from the budget, we're advised that because there was a previous council resolution supporting the grant, we would need to revoke that. So that would be the amendment that one of you is proposing then?
Is it appropriate if Councillor Hamilton has reviewed her situation that she proposed?
If you're happy to?
Yes.
Yes,
yep.
I'm happy to revoke
So
it.
A new point 20.
You need to have more than just one
seconder.
You need to have a third of the councillors.
Okay, so just let us get
the wording.
Hold on, Councillor Hamilton.
You're smiling at me like I'm
no,
saying.
No.
I think she suggested
she's smiling because she has the
support. Okay, so we're revoking the previous council decision. We probably
yes,
don't have to.
Just through the chair, the previous council resolution was OCM 17-07-17.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got a mover, we need a number of seconders. So we've got Councillor Mikachuk, Councillor Wilson, and if we need a fourth, we've got Councillor Brown in support of the revocation. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Okay, further amendments?
I just have an add-on to that. This would obviously require the staff to write to the entity to advise them.
Yep.
Through the chair again, yes, council would need to write to the department to advise that due to other funding priorities at this time, the town of Bassendean wishes to withdraw from the Pickering Park boat ramp and jetty planning study.
So can we just include that in that previous point?
We'll do that administratively now that you've withdrawn.
Okay. Further amendments?
Okay. I wish to reduce the budget allocation for... I think it's in the Economic Development Plan, $42,500. I believe that includes the Festival of Business, does it not?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. So, as per the workshop, I indicated that I believe that, you know, because this was done via a consultant this year, that we should have learnt a few lessons along the way, and some of this work should now be done in-house rather than employing a consultant to duplicate that work again in the coming year. So my request would be to reduce the budget allocation from $42,500 downwards. I am open to suggestions here. I would suggest that we reduce that down by at least half, say $21,000. And my reasons are obvious because I have indicated previously that we have seemed to have no measures of success with this. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Just
point of order.
Procedural matter. Is it not to propose amendment, have a seconder, and then speak to it?
So I'm just writing down what you're proposing. So you're at the moment you're proposing to reduce the allocation
for the economic development development plan
to $21,000.
Yep.
For the Festival of Business.
Well, I think there's something else in that development plan. There's a Festival of Business and something else.
So I think Councillor Gansh has a question.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. That's what my question was going to be, what the allocation of those funds are for. My understanding is it's not for the entirety of the Business for Festival, Festival of Business.
I did send out a spreadsheet, but I think there was two projects. One was the Festival of Business, which was $30,000, and another project, which was $12,500, which I don't have.
Can I ask a question, Mayor, about who Councillor Hamilton is suggesting would run this now then, if it's not going to be a consultant? Because we only have part-time events officers, two part-time events officers. So I'm not sure, are you suggesting that they would do it, or...?
We have a full-time economics development officer who ran the Festival of Business this year, he employed the consultant or appointed the consultant as far as I know. So
Councillor.
I'm unsure.
Mr. Costarella, do you want to provide some clarification?
Sorry. Yes, it is $42,500. The Festival of Local Business is $30,000.
Yep.
The Business Hub project is $5,500. And the Industry Alignment Industry Clutter Program is $7,000.
Cluster, sorry. Councillor Wilson?
Could I ask a question of the mover, please, Your Worship?
Yes.
Seeing as we just allocated $10,000 for a hydrological study, would you consider accepting a $10,000 reduction in the Festival of Small Business such that the figures balance up? And I think that would that leave $20,000 for a Festival of Small Business, which I think would certainly be adequate for the purposes.
I would accept that.
Okay, so the amendment is to reduce the allocation for the Economic Development Plan from $42,500 to $32,500, and the reduction is specifically for the Festival of Local Business.
Yep.
Okay, so we've got a mover for that motion, a seconder with Councillor Wilson, Councillor Gansh is against, Councillor Hamilton.
Okay. We spent $39,000 on consultants this year for the Festival of Business. I believe there might have been some other additional expenditure for promotion and things like that, but that came from a separate budget. The idea that we employ people full time and we also have consultants, I've been told by the administration that we employ consultants when we cannot accommodate or do not have a skill set in-house to do certain jobs. However, we have an economics development officer, we have staff who do events, so surely between both entities we can produce the the Festival of Business in-house. Now, I admit that there are some costs that are involved with that, which is why I wanted some budget allocation for it. I didn't want to take all the money away from it. However, I do believe that we have the knowledge, the intelligence, and the resources in-house to produce some of these events ourselves rather than going straight out to a consultant. So the other thing about consultants too is a learning experience. We might get a consultant in the first time and learn how they do things. And one would hope that that then instructs people on how to proceed in the future without necessarily spending all that money on consultants in subsequent years. So my idea is that we should, in fact, be trying where possible to gain skill sets in-house and to produce work in-house wherever possible. That's the reason for my amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I would remind other councillors that we are able to deliver the summer outdoor movies across the entire of the summer for our whole community to enjoy for $22,000 a year. I do not see the need to spend more than that on providing a festival for small business. I think the format of last year's event was a trial, but perhaps could be scaled down somewhat to meet the participation that it received.
Councillor Gandrill.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, obviously I was hoping that Council would elect to support a budget that was workshopped thoroughly through by councillors. Now, in this item, I see we're reducing the Festival of Business. What I find staggering is that we create a committee, the Sustainability Advisory Committee. We allocate somewhere around the sort of $40,000 mark for grants. Still to tonight, when we're going to adopt it, we have no idea what the criteria is or the requirements for accessing those grants. We then put up a motion, and it may well be required, at Pickering Park that potentially has a difference, a shortfall of some $40,000. But where does Council choose to take the funds from? From economic development. Now, granted, the Festival of Business certainly can be improved on last year, but you actually know what we're allocating the funds for in the Festival of Business. It is certainly a strength that a town and a city and any locality should focus on economic growth. We do have an Economic Development Advisory Committee that has been established after re-established after the last election. We do have dedicated business people sitting around the table. On the whole scheme of our overall budget, economic development gets a very small percentage of the budget. So I'll simply advocate that we don't look to take from economic development, because in my mind that is a requirement, and it shouldn't simply be about an extreme end of the spectrum. That if you don't fit up towards a green spectrum, then you're there for the picking. Thank you.
Do we have anybody else speaking?
Yes, I'd like to speak against. Oh, unless there's someone for. No. Okay. I certainly take the points that Councillor Hamilton and Wilson have presented, and in fact agree with many of Councillor Hamilton's assertions in regards to trying to do more in-house, learning from consultants, and therefore not necessarily needing to replicate the same work or reinvent the wheel. I think all those points are valid and worth in principle supporting. However, I personally don't feel that I've had been able to duly consider the matter, just because in regards of the whole remit of the economic development sector, I guess, and what is and isn't required. So I guess I'm just saying
to make the decision with confidence, I would like further information, and I'm not sure whether that's information that I could glean in this setting this evening. So on that note, I feel the need to err on the side of caution, acknowledging the valid points that both Councillor Hamilton and Councillor Wilson have raised.
Councillor Brown.
Yes, so in the systems out of sequence, I'd like to speak for the motion. I was fairly intimately involved with the festival business. I gave opening presentations to two events in your stead on behalf of council. I was intimately involved with speaking with people, including the organisers. It was a sack at the sea exercise, excuse the French. I believe that any inaugural festival business was going to be a costly exercise, but I do believe that $20,000 budget for the festival business, not the other aspects of our business enterprise, but the festival business, I think that is generous. So therefore I support the amendment.
Are there further speakers? Councillor Hamilton.
I thank my fellow councillors. There are obviously around the table some differing opinions, and I appreciate Councillor Gangell's perspective. However, in this particular issue, I do think that we should have an expectation that if we do have consultants on board, that we learn from them and then proceed to try and implement some of those lessons in-house. So this is something I feel very strongly about, that we can't go on like rats running around a wheel doing the same thing in the same way year in, year out. The Festival of Business was successful this year. However, who's to say that next year, if we run it on the same format, that's going to be successful? I'm very much a believer in the fact that we should be doing innovation. So part of my reason for requiring or requesting that we decrease the amount of money is because I don't believe it will be as successful 2 years in a row. And I think if you'd come up with something more innovative for the following year, I might well have supported a greater budget. But in this instance, I think it's something that's been there, been done, and I don't think we should be spending that amount of money 2 years in a row.
Okay, thank you. So we'll put that to the vote. So all those in favour of the amendment, we've got Councillor Wilson, Councillor Hamilton, Councillor Quinton, Councillor Brown, all those against, so that is Councillor McLennan, Gangell and Mikajuk. So that is carried. Okay, further amendments?
Shall I keep going?
Sure.
Can I ask how many you have?
Sorry?
Can I ask how many you have out of curiosity?
Not that many more. Okay, sorry. Actually, does someone else want to have a go first while I collect my thoughts?
I'd like to move that the officer recommendation. I'll restrain myself.
So Councillor Brown is moving. Sorry, Councillor Wilson is moving. The officer recommendation be put.
No,
just thinking around.
Okay.
That's
all
what
right.
I'd like to do, but I'm restraining.
Councillor Hamilton.
For now.
Okay. I did mention the two amendments for things which didn't have the grant monies in there, so I'm assuming you will automatically fix those up, which obviously will change the bottom line.
No.
Yes, it will.
No.
It won't.
No, because we've done is shown the total cost of the job. The grant is in the income anyway.
Okay. I would like to move an amendment that we increase the fees and charges for vehicle impounding and what have you. Now, the reason for that is there's administration costs.
Okay, hold on a second.
Can we just put an amendment and then go through the motions of debating and speaking?
So can I just clarify? So you're proposing that we increase it in addition to what the contractor is charging us and the additional fee goes to the town. Is that correct? So, Councillor Gangell?
Just a question, Your Worship. I just missed the in relation to the change in the fees and charges to the parking fee, that would be have to be argued separately because it's anticipated to automatically go up to $15?
So it's currently in the officer recommendation. So if you would
like... The $3,000 one,
So that's Yep. So what
the
what
increased
are you
revenue? So what I'm saying is, if I'm not in favour of the increased $15.
Yep. So you would need to propose an amendment to the current officer recommendation.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you,
Councillor Hamilton. So we're back on to fees and charges for the vehicle impounding.
For the vehicle impounding. So I'm suggesting an increase of even 10% to cover administration costs, because we do have administration and staff costs involved.
Okay. So the amendment is to increase vehicle impounding, and what was the other term?
Right. Vehicle impounding and administration fees, vehicle towing fees, and vehicle reclaim fees. They're not fees that are extensively utilised by the town, as far as I know.
Can I ask, with the greatest respect and just adherence to standing orders, because in many occasions is reiterated that they're there for a good reason, put the amendment, then go through the proper motions about speaking to your amendment.
So hold on, I'm still trying to actually get the amendment that we're looking at. So we're looking at vehicle impounding administration fees increasing by 10%.
There's three sets of fees, the one after the other in the fees and charges.
Yep.
One is vehicle impounding and administration fees.
Yep, which page are you on?
Okay, it's page 24 under Ranger Services.
Yep. So vehicle impounding administration fee, vehicle towing fee,
vehicle reclaim fee.
So they are currently $90, $95 and $50 each. So you're proposing a 10% increase in each of those three.
Yep.
Yep.
To cover administration.
Okay. Councillor Gandrill?
Just through the chair, the first item already has an administration fee already included.
My question.
So it says...
It says vehicle impounding and administration.
Vehicle impounding and administration.
Okay.
Councillor Gandu, did you have
a
question?
No, that was my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so that's moved, Councillor Hamilton. Is there a seconder for the motion? Okay, so that lapses for want of a seconder.
Last but not least is a query.
Yes.
In point 19...
Yes.
We have the human resources assistant. I thought that was a retitled position, and we had a motion where we were not dealing with retitled positions until the new CEO came on board.
So that was the what was the term it was for previously?
I think the ones that we understood it related to was the restructuring the asset services area with the manager of asset services and the manager of infrastructure. That's what we thought.
So this was the trainee, is that correct?
Yeah,
previously, that's been changed.
So there was no additional cost or anything.
Just to make it, I'm not overly concerned about it. I just wanted to know what that was. And the other positions were the community support workers and what have you. I also thought that they were retitled positions as well.
They are, but it's based on the program that we're not doing NDIS anymore, so these people have been
okay. And my last question, the environmental officer, did we ever decide if that was full-time or part-time? I actually don't know.
So the proposal in there is for full-time as per the original workforce recommendation?
Yep.
Okay. Councillor Gantry, did you have a...
Yes, I'd like to move that we remove the additional parking fee for Australia Day and retain the charge at
$10. Okay. Through you, Madam.
Yes.
The fees and charges, if you adopt them, is just $10. The $3,000 that we've listed here was to bring it up to $15. So if you don't include that, it's still $10.
Okay, so your proposal is to remove
the $3,000
from point 16 parking fees for Australia Day,
increase
it to $3,000.
Yes.
You got that, Amy?
Remove point 16, remove parking fee for Australia Day.
Yep. So that's Councillor Gangell's proposed amendment. Is there a seconder for the proposal? Councillor Wilson. Okay, so anybody against? Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Gandrill.
Thank you, Worship. I do appreciate the opportunity to explain why I've moved this. My concern is for the volunteers that collect the money on behalf of the town. They are volunteers from local community groups. People get very agitated and frustrated when they're asked to pay, at this stage, $10, let alone $15 for parking at Australia Day. I potentially believe there could be considerable abuse directed towards the volunteers that that are collecting the money on behalf of the town. I don't believe that it is justifiable to subject our volunteers to any potential form of abuse, and I believe that increasing the fee from $10 to $15 will make them a target of agitated and frustrated people that believe that is highway robbery, and I believe that for the safeguarding of our volunteers that we should retain the fee as a flat $10.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have the same concerns as Councillor Gangell, and for $3,000 is what is essentially a rounding error in our budget. I don't think the hassle is worth the effort of the exercise.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton.
Okay, with the survey of attendees that go to the fireworks, it was found that most, I think it was 70%, came from outside the district. And, of course, they tend to be the people who are taking up the car parking. So are we representing ratepayers or are we representing people outside the town? Now, one of the biggest costs associated with the fireworks is traffic management. So if we are going to manage traffic management and reduce the traffic management, the most effective way of doing that is to increase the fees for parking to encourage people to catch public transport. Now, we have transport studies happening in the background. We have programs in the background where we are trying to get people to stop using their car, to catch public transport, to bike ride, to cycle, to walk. We're trying all these things, and yet, on the other hand, you're saying an aspect where we can discourage people from using their car, catch public transport by increasing a charge if they have to park their car. I don't see the logic there. So I would argue that from a pure point of trying to discourage the number of people using motor vehicles coming into the area, which creates traffic chaos, that we should be increasing the fee.
Thank you. Any further speakers? Councillor Mikichuk?
I'd like to speak against the amendment. Just in response to Councillor Gangell's point about his concern for volunteers, I think it's valid and it's considerate and thoughtful, and it is a potential issue. I do think, although by really good publicity and highlighting the information, and I think it's all about managing expectations, that so when people come to an event, they know what the charge will be. And in choosing to attend the event and in choosing to drive a car, they know what the amount will be. Just to touch on some of Councillor Hamilton's points, we are a council that is values sustainability, and in all our different areas want to encourage people to decrease vehicle use. Nowhere could be closer to a train station than that event. And I think for those reasons, I don't support the amendment, but do support the increase, and I'd urge other councillors to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further speakers? Okay, so we'll put that to the vote. Sorry, Councillor Gangell.
Thank you, Your Worship. I do have a right of reply.
Sorry.
This is $3,000 we're talking about here, so a very small pool of money for considerable abuse that will be hurled at volunteers. A lot of people will not, no matter how well you advertise the parking fee, will not know that the parking fee is $15 until they get to that gate and somebody says they'll be $15. And then it'll be the expletives and the likes being hurled at our volunteers. Further to that, it will actually all do is congest our residential streets more, because people think, well, to hell with this, I'm reversing out of here, I'm going to park somewhere up on a verge or in another street, so you get more congestion in our streets during the event. I have no doubt that with the electronic parking bay that we've put in here, there'll be a queue of electronic cars wanting to charge up and then park at Australia Day. So there's the added attraction for electronic cars now to come into the town and charge up before they go and see the fireworks at Australia Day. So I think there's a number of reasons why it makes sense to keep it at $10. You're not going to achieve a great deal by going to $15. And there is a culture where people are still very car reliant. There'll be a lot of people that do catch public transport, but still there is still that culture there. And I think for the sake of congesting our streets more, for the potential abuse that will be held at volunteers collecting the funds, I personally just don't think it's worth all the animosity. Thank you.
Okay, so putting that to the vote, so removing the increase in the parking fees. So all those in favour? It's Councillor McLennan, Wilson, Gangell, Quinton, and hands up, Brown, and against is Councillor Mikichuk and Hamilton, so that is carried. And Councillor Gangell, I'm sure your car isn't an electronic car, just not an electronic car.
I'm waiting already to queue up.
Okay, electric, not electronic.
Oh, well, you know, whatever it is.
Okay, further amendments.
You were in the mood, it was needed. Thank you.
Okay, I have an amendment.
Okay.
So at present, we've taken out, we've put in $10,000 for the Mundaring Hydrology, and have we taken anything else?
$10,000
for the Economic Development Plan. So we're still left with a current surplus of around
$98,000.
We've taken out the $3,000. Okay, so $96,000. I would like to propose, and instead of having that money sitting there doing nothing, that we invest in an additional 100 trees, which would be an approximate cost of $75,000. To help kickstart our urban forest. So that would leave us with a closing
19.
Now, Mr. Costarella.
Sorry, 21.
I'm glad your maths is okay.
Oh, cool.
So I would like to move that amendment. Is that a seconder?
It is. But I'm also asking you as the mover if you'll accept a further amendment to your amendment.
Well, it depends what your amendment is.
That those trees be at a location and of a species determined by council rather than with reference to the existing street tree master plan.
So that is in advance of us adopting a new street tree master plan is what you're suggesting. Yes, I'm happy to accept that amendment.
So I just have a question. I did see earlier $750,000 for trees.
Mm-hmm.
What is that if this is not included in that?
So what we've currently got is 500 trees, but that figure that you've got also includes maintenance, watering, all those things as well, pruning.
Right.
Yep. So we've currently got, last year it was 216 trees, I think, that was in the budget. The current budget we've got 500 that's included in that figure. So what I'm proposing is that we bump that new trees from 500 to 600 with this surplus that we've got at the moment.
And does your new figure include the...
Yes, the ongoing, yep. So I've checked with Mr. Stuart Dawkins that it would include the watering for the period and also the staff time. And Mr. Stuart Dawkins, would you like to comment? I know that the staff's resources are somewhat pushed in terms of trees.
Yes, they are. Just in regards to the trees. Fantastic ambition, you know, to plant that many trees. I just from a practicality perspective, obviously we'd need to place an order quite early. So having multiple types of trees for different areas makes it difficult to place those orders. So that would, just picking up Councillor Wilson's comments, that that need to be resolved fairly soon.
So just to clarify, all of these wouldn't go in this planting season, though they'd be for next winter's planting season, I imagine.
For
so the
2000 for the winter of
2019.
So this is July 19.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, we have a period of time between now and when some of these trees will be planted, so we don't need to order them.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Is that the only
concern? Yeah, and just in regards to the managing the planting of that, we were, even with the increase in tree planting, we were looking at having to probably have some casual staff coming in from an agency just to help us plant.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to use community to help us with that, some of that planting, which would be a good initiative to try and get some engagement from the community in that area. And so that there's a level of coordination that has to occur with that. So certainly that urban forest officer would be very well welcomed to assist us with that process.
Councillor Gadgil.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just on this, my concern is that we're discriminating against a large chunk of the town, because we do have a policy where we're not planting trees under power lines. So are you suggesting that there'll be no trees planted anywhere under power lines?
So I believe the latest resolution says that first preference will be to areas where underground power has, where power's been undergrounded. Second preference being streets where on one side the power, there's not overhead power lines. So that would not exclude the rest of the suburb. There's plenty of sections within the town that have one side of the street that has underground power, well, not underground power, but doesn't have overhead wires.
So then further to that, then can I just ask then, for those people that that do experience properties or streets that have power lines, where are we at with that process to allow them to actually have trees planted as well to beautify their side of the road?
There's a council resolution which we have standing, which is restricting the use of planting on the power line side for the bulk planting. There are quite a number of streets, for example, Ashfield. There were some funds that were left over from the undergrounding of power, so that would be a priority to spend those funds. I think it was $33,000 of funds. That would be a priority in Ashfield to get that planting undertaken. Eden Hill has quite a large area which is has underground power, so I think there's plenty of opportunities within those, within our current town, to have mass plantings in those areas.
Sorry, Your Worship, that was actually one of my question. What I was asking is, I think that there was the resolution actually stated that we don't conduct planting of underground, planting of trees under power lines until the street tree master plan had been done. Is that my recollection?
I'd have to go back and check the actual wording.
I think the question was the species of trees we're planting under the power lines, and that the motion, to my recollection, said that we don't start planting under power lines until that had been finalised. So I suppose that's correct. My recollection is correct. I'm just wanting to get a time frame of when we believe the street tree master plan, considering this is a major contention at last year's budget, and also the urban forest plan, will be completed.
So council's allocated funding in the current budget, $60,000 to progress the review of the street tree master plan and the development of a urban forest management plan. So I would anticipate that the new urban forest officer would be engaged in that process.
Does that satisfy your...
Yes, thank you, Your Worship.
Are there further questions?
Are you accepting Councillor Wilson's amendment?
Yes, so it's just for these 100 trees in advance of us having the new street tree master plan, yes? Okay, so you've seconded it with that amendment. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Okay, so if there's no additional amendments, we go back to the...
I do have an additional amendment.
Oh, sorry, yes.
I just wanted to... First question. I feel like there's some advice coming from the officer that we might not spend all of the money within the financial year, so I propose to move an amendment that any leftover funds be quarantined and rolled over to the next year to ensure that those 100 trees are planted.
So you're just wanting to quarantine the tree, the money allocated for the trees?
No, the entire budget. So if we don't spend the entire budget of whatever the final figure is by 30th of June next year,
that
we'll
make...
I'm not
sure we can do that, can we?
It's an unusual practice to bind a future budget at this time.
So in the event in the event that a project that we about allocated money for now wasn't completed, we would then be bound to spend that money on trees for the
We would roll it over to the next year.
No, but what Councillor Clinton is suggesting is that that money would then automatically go towards trees. Is that
yes, into a reserve or something.
Any unspent fund has been placed.
Okay, hold on. Councillor Wilson first and then Councillor.
I was just going to suggest that we create a dedicated tree reserve as we have reserves for other purposes.
Okay, so can I just clarify what you're proposing is, I think I'm misinterpreting you. I heard you say any unspent money, but you're talking specifically any unspent money on trees.
Yes.
Okay.
Of the 600
yep.
total trees.
Okay.
That, yeah.
Sorry, my apologies.
Not just the extra 100,
yep.
The total 600.
Okay, so your amendment is?
To establish a tree
reserve. Reserve fund.
Reserve fund, and any unspent funds within that financial year be quarantined into that reserve.
The purpose of
future
yeah.
plantings.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone's clear what the amendment is. We've got
yes.
a seconder, Councillor Wilson. Anyone against? All those in favour? That's passed
yeah.
unanimously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay, Councillor Hamilton, sorry.
Subsequent, thank you for that amendment. I have another question along those lines, which I have asked before, but I'm going to ask it again. In that funds that are allocated in this year, this coming year, for capital works programs, I've always had a problem with the fact that any unspent funds goes into a melting pot and gets put towards a surplus
so
at the end of the year.
So what's your proposal to quarantine it for?
Well, I've always thought that capital works funds should be kept separate from operational funding. And so I'm wondering whether there is potential or whether other councils actually do that, because as far as I know, to put it all into a melting pot, or at the very least, if there's surplus funds, that they come back to council for reallocation.
That's the budget.
Mr. Costello?
I think when we talked at the workshop, I think one of the things was we transfer monies to and from reserves every year. If there are surplus funds that we think that, for example, if the waste service says a surplus, we transfer it to reserve. We've never kept, and it's unusual to keep capital works funding separate to operating funding. It is, like you say, one melting pot. And we do have to balance the budget somehow, and we've used that money to balance the budget. There are some works that are carried forward into next year, and that's what we've done. To isolate the capital works money into a reserve, we would then have to raise rates.
Okay.
So do you have an amendment you're proposing at the moment?
Let me think for a minute.
is this something we could explore with the Audit and Risk
Well,
Committee?
Well, I think we should be exploring it because, you know, I find it, you know, if we have surplus money from a capital works
yeah.
program, at the very least, I think it should come back to council, be reallocated to another project.
Okay. So can we potentially explore that at one of the committee meetings?
Yeah.
Okay. Unless there are further amendments, let's go back to the officer recommendation with those changes that have already been adopted. So I'm happy to move the officer recommendation with those amendments.
No.
Is there, sorry?
Sorry, I believe you had myself and
oh,
Councillor
sorry.
Wilson.
Councillor Gangell's moved, Councillor Wilson seconded. Is
yep.
there anybody against? All those in favour? Yay, passed unanimously.
Thank you, everybody.
Does anybody need to have a 5-minute break before we keep going?
Yes.
Yes, so we have a mover. Councillor Mikichuk, seconded Councillor Wilson. Anyone against? All those in favour? So 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and continue on with the meeting.
Tim. Three.
Hey,
we're done, Tim.
You know the reason why no one heard about my proposed amendments?
Seconded
really
was Councillor Wilson
thought about it
until
I was
sitting
here. I thought about
it.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it or not do it. Whatever.
Councillor
Mikichuk,
I moved.
I'm just going to take a plunge up until. You know how some things you just do because we have to believe that and it might not get up. Yeah, anyway, that's the backstory behind that.
Everybody happy to reconvene. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so item 10.5, extension of the Bassanese Seniors Community Kitchen. Any questions?
No, happy to move.
So that's moved, Councillor Gangell. Councillor Hamilton.
I had an amendment.
Okay, so hold on, Councillor Gangell's moved it.
Yeah.
We need
so
a
we
seconder.
Have to deal with that.
Yeah, Councillor Mikichuk. Okay, so now you've got an amendment. Councillor Gangell has to agree to your amendment.
Councillor Gangell.
Yes.
I have an amendment,
mm-hmm.
with your indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
Point C of the officer's recommendation, pretty much the same until I've got... So the facility be made available...
Sorry, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Gangell, I believe she's given you a copy of her proposed amendment.
So shall I read it out?
Yes.
Okay. Facility to be made available to Mr. Gow for one day per week, with additional days being made available, and I've got there to a total of 16 free of charge hours per week, with the approval of the CEO, and that any additional hours over and above 16 hours per week be subject to the standard hourly rate applicable for venue hire, which I think is $15 an hour or something. And then item D, I've put request the applicant to work with officers of the town to deliver an activity and or service at no cost at a minimum of once every 3 months for the benefit of the community in return for using the premises free of charge or no charge.
Okay, can I just ask a question? So in the report there was some reference to suggestion of the user providing a service to the community, but that's not reflected in the current officer recommendation, I don't believe. Is there a reason for that?
No, that was just going to be done administratively.
Okay, so the intention would be to have that discussion and encourage the current user.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Councillor Gangell?
Yeah, happy with the amendments.
Okay, Councillor Mikichuk is the seconder. Were you the seconder?
No.
You are the seconder?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I had.
You seconded.
You did second.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Again?
So are you saying no, you're not seconding?
I'll second it.
You're seconding, and are you supportive of the amendment?
I didn't intend to second it.
Okay.
If I need to keep going with that, I will, but...
Okay.
Sorry, I feel like this amendment is substantially different
to the officer.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
probably
yeah.
what
yeah.
I would have said
this
as well.
This is totally different.
Okay
so Councillor Gangell, okay, so we've got the officer recommendation
we'll do it
standalone
as a...
As a foreshadowed motion.
Foreshadowed.
So Councillor
yep.
Gangell has moved it. I believe Councillor Mikichuk has seconded it.
Yes, I think that's what I was
the
intending
original
to do
motion.
Too.
Yep, so you can refuse to support the amendment anyway. So is there anybody against the officer recommendation? Okay, all those in favour, and we won't get to consider her foreshadowed motion in that case. Okay, so now, hold on. All those in favour of the officer recommendation without the amendment. So we've got Councillor Wilson, Gangell, Mikichuk, Quinton, Brown and McLennan. So that is passed 6-1. Okay, thank you. 10-6, the facilities audit. Question?
I have a... an extra dot point.
Sure. So this is the one, do you want to read out your additional
yes.
point? So you're moving it with this additional dot point?
Yeah. Dot point four, it says the officer's recommendation, exactly as is, dot point four, that the community facilities, ovals and reserves audit needs assessment be reviewed annually by the Assets Committee prior to the creation of draft budgets, and that said committee provides recommendations to Council in respect to what projects, if any, from this document may be included for consideration in the draft budget prior to their implementation.
So essentially you're requesting that it goes to the Town Assets Committee each year before any decisions are made
yes.
about implementation. Okay, so we've got a mover with that amendment. Is there a seconder for Councillor Wilson? Is there anybody against?
All I just need a moment to consider.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay, there's someone against, yeah.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton.
The only reason I've put that in is the community facilities audit had quite a number of smaller projects, but there has been discussion amongst councillors about asset renewal, how we have older buildings that need substantial upgrading or in fact replacing. So
my reason for moving this amendment is it would be advantageous if the Assets Committee that has a hands-on control or oversight over our assets looks at this audit each year to ascertain what is relevant for that year, what is not, perhaps even gives council input into updating some of the information. And it's just a recommendation. The committee has no ability to do anything. It has no delegated authority. It can only give recommendations to council. So whatever they recommend will come before council, a full council in any case.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Wilson.
I give my right to speak.
Councillor Gadget.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think the amendment is a bit overly cumbersome on the process that we undertake for budgeting. This is a holistic review of facilities within the town. I would think the officers would be better placed to do an internal audit of the conditions of the facilities and priorities of which require budgetary attention. Obviously, the committee wouldn't be across, I wouldn't have thought, all the facilities within the town, their various uses. There'll certainly be potentially some people on the committee that that maybe use a particular venue or facility that believes they should be put in front of another venue within the town, despite what our consultants and internal auditing has suggested, and plus the additional time frame to try and get a budget process together. As we know, this year councillors were at times frustrated with the timing to get the budget together for councils to examine, and I think that this, whilst well-meaning, may add another cumbersome hurdle to that process. Thank you.
Okay, further speakers? Councillor Hamilton?
This annual review can be held at any time, and I don't think it would add to the timeline of creating the budget, particularly if it's done at the budget review time in, say, February. I somewhat object to the assertion that members of the Asset Committee might favour some asset or group in preference to others. I think we're all fairly even-handed around this table. So I don't see it as being cumbersome. I see it as simply being an ability to make recommendations to council.
Okay, so put that to the vote. All those in favour with the amendment? So that's Councillor McLennan, Wilson, Mikichuk, Hamilton and Quinton, and against Councillor Gangell and Brown. So that is carried. 10.7, this is the Mary Crescent Playground. So I've had some discussions with Mr. Haggett about this, and understandably I think everybody in this room is a bit frustrated about the obstacles that have been in the path of this process. Mr. Haggett, now, if I understand correctly, there was going to be some fault, or maybe you, Mr. Jarvis, with Welga about why the preferred providers did not return a compliant tender.
That's correct, Your Worship. The Welga were as concerned as we were that their preferred suppliers did not respond to a tender. There is no point having a preferred suppliers list who are supposed to respond to tenders by local government if they don't. And we've asked for Welga to provide us with a formal response, so we're expecting that fairly soon. And looking at the tender and what was in it, I can't see why any, if not all, of these playground companies could not have responded. So we're trying to find out what went wrong here.
Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Worship. I have a question. Is there anything preventing us from putting it out to tender to people beyond Welga's list of so-called?
That's what we're intending
providers?
To do now.
Do you mean in tandem with the Welga preferred providers?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm curious why that approach wasn't taken. That would have seen the tender go out to all interested and possible parties.
I can answer that. The reason why we go to the Welga preferred suppliers list is because they go out initially to a very wide group so that we don't have to spend that money on an open tender process. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked, and so we're now required to go to a wider tender process. But normally, it's a means of saving time and money because they've already done that much broader advertising process.
Councillor Mikichuk?
Yeah, I just have a question on that. I seem to recall that in the report and maybe supporting information that there was potentially an option about going back to the individual tenderers to see if they wanted to submit. I apologise if that's not accurate. Maybe I could just get some clarification on that, aside from going back and understanding why they didn't submit.
So those that came to do the site visit, is that what you're referring to? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
So we did go back to them.
Oh, you did. Thank you.
And they, for whatever reason, said that they couldn't. So.
Okay. Thank you for answering that.
Okay. And so in discussion with Mr. Haggett or Mr. Costello, I can't remember now which one, the plan would be if we pass this to put it out ASAP, like, as in this weekend.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
The project would be advertised on Saturday.
So do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Mukachuk, seconded by Councillor Quinton. Anyone against? All those in favour? Passed unanimously. 10.8 Surrey Street project. Questions? Okay. Do we have Councillor Hamilton?
Someone else can go before me, please.
I'm not sure. Councillor Gangell?
Yes, happy to move the officer's recommendation.
Okay, is there a seconder for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Mitchell? Is there anybody against? Councillor Hamilton, Councillor
Gadget. Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this project has been ongoing for, say, a number of years would be an understatement. This actually predates my time on council, which is a considerable period now. This is a situation where it was grant funded, it was supported, it was budgeted. In the budget, my understanding what has occurred over time is that potentially deals between former councillors were done for support on various other projects, and therefore it went into a bit of turmoil, the project, and now we've sort of come to the stage where we are tonight. I would urge councillors to support the officer recommendation. This has certainly been years of work within the community, committed community people that have been tirelessly working to get this project up and running and finalised. This is a state heritage listed facility that we have in the town. In fact, it is quite shameful, to say the least, that over successive councils it's been left derelict to go to rack and ruin, where it's potentially at the stage of needing demolition by neglect. Now, I don't want it to get to that stage. We have a Lotteries West grant here. We've heard earlier that this will be the last time the town will be able to get such a sizeable grant for Lotteries West. I understand we are also trying to work with other community groups as well and facilities to co-locate various people there. I believe that whilst all parties, and maybe none of the parties are ultimately 100% satisfied, the parties understand that there needs to be give and take and agreement to ensure that this opportunity is not lost, and also our heritage in the town is also not lost along with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mukachuk?
Yes. I'd like to touch on some of Councillor Gangell's points, and I think he raised quite a few important ones. We all know this project has been going for a long time. We value the history and heritage of our town and acknowledge that not only do we have an obligation, but we also have core values, I think, that align with restoring and preserving the building. I think also, as Councillor Gangell said, you know, maybe there is no one that is completely happy, but the reality is life and big decisions are about compromise, and I think this solution meets a compromise where we hopefully honour and can interpret the history of the building, and we can also provide valuable, much-needed services to our communities, families, and children. And I would really like to hope
that maybe if this proceeds, that there can be some great synergies and some positive outcomes that maybe we didn't imagine. And I think, you know, there are some wonderful connections in a family residence that is very important, and families coming together. And I think that can be more congruent than we ever thought. And I'd just like to urge people to support the officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
Perhaps instead of arguing against the motion, perhaps with Councillor Gangell's indulgence, he might consider an amendment to go into the... I do agree with you, Councillor. I would like to have an amendment in point four, so an additional dot point there, to scale back some aspects of the 2C design to achieve a reduction in overall proposed expenditure.
So just to clarify, one of the things that you flagged with me is potentially the studio space. Is that
yes.
the kind of thing that you're
yep.
talking about?
Yep. And I do think that, you know, there is the ability to scale back some aspects.
Okay, so hold on a moment. Are
yep.
you, Councillor Gangell, not will... Okay, so you'll have to foreshadow that as a motion for councillors to consider if they don't want to support the motion as it currently stands.
Okay.
So you're
so
speaking
against
the current motion
yep.
then?
I actually agree with most of what you've said, Councillor Gangell. I believe that previous councils have somewhat neglected the property, so that we now find ourselves holding the bag and needing to spend money on this, otherwise it will fall down. So in principle, I support much of this officer's recommendation. However, I also know that a point of discussion around this table at workshops has been the cost of the project. And so I would like to see some ability for the staff to review some aspects of the project, not all of it, just some aspects, to reduce the cost where possible. I don't think that is a terribly onerous thing to ask. So in this respect, I will argue against the officer's recommendation, because I do want to get in some aspect which constrains the cost, because otherwise this could well be a deep well where we throw a lot of money at it. There is another aspect where we did ask, or I asked the Mayor and some of the staff previously, if the National Trust, WA I think it is, would look at some form of assisting in this project, and we got back a response that seemed to be a little bit open-ended. And I wouldn't mind investigating that a little bit further, because I do think that when we come to things like the creative spaces, the interpretation, I did get a sense from the workshop that there were differing views. It didn't seem to have a great deal of focus, and I am concerned that the historical property, once it is renovated or restored, that we may not make the most use of it. So I would also like to open the door to more discussion with the National Trust.
Good timing. Okay, thank you. Can I just seek some clarification from the staff? So if the officer recommendation is passed as it is currently written, there will be opportunities for further discussion and potentially scaling back some of them as part of the process going forward anyway, is that correct?
Scaling back what?
So, for example, if council wanted to remove the studio space, there's
oh,
the
okay.
option for that.
Yes, look,
yeah.
the current... when we prepared the previous specifications and for the to going out for tender, we designed it so that the separable portions for the studio space, or what could be now used as a multifunctional space for the community now, and so potentially when we went out to tender, that it would show the total value, and then you could if it was too much money, you could take that component out of the project if council so desired when the tender came back for consideration.
Okay, thank you. Okay, further... Sorry, your question?
Can I ask the officer... we do have budget allocation of 52,000 for remodeled architect drawings. Surely if we take out some of these things prior to the architect redoing the drawings, we can save some money rather than waiting until it's all gone out to tender.
Yes.
Through the chair. I'm at a loss of kind of... you've mentioned the studio space that you'd like to take out. There is an opportunity for council to take that out in the future when the tender comes back.
Any changes proposed by this current...
Yes.
Wouldn't impact on the design of
no,
that space.
No,
so that's not
You're simply adopting... At this stage, you're giving... direction to staff to undertake to bring it back a final plan. I think the report's saying that there's going to be another report plan brought back to you, which would further articulate what you've deciding tonight. So just from a concept perspective.
Thank you. Okay, so Councillor Hamilton has spoken against. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Councillor Gangell.
Thank you, Your Worship. This is a project that needs to be undertaken. I don't quite understand the reluctance of spending on infrastructure, and certainly on our history. This is one of the few state listed heritage places that we have in the town. Bringing it back to its original glory will be a massive benefit for the town. I've always been of the belief that. Once you actually build it and make it a usable facility, an attractive facility, people will actually want to use the facility. Case in example is the library that was rebuilt with the community rooms in the library. People always want to use those community rooms. We don't have enough community rooms. If there was community space provided, regardless of what it was used for, the community would actually use that space in a nicely renovated, architecturally designed, heritage-listed building. It will be a wonderful, fantastic asset to the town. We've now got it on the motion. It's almost back to square one. If we could rewind the clock back 18 months, potentially tonight we would be celebrating the opening of Surrey Street rather than debating whether or not we go out and yet again try and get this project completed. But please, councillors, I implore you to do just that. Thank you.
Okay, let's put that to the vote. All those in favour, as that is Councillor McLennan, Wilson, Gangell, Mikichip, Hamilton, Quinton and Brown. That is passed unanimously. Thank goodness. Okay, 10:11, Economic Development Committee meeting. Councillor Hamilton, you wanted that... out of my block.
Only because I had a question. Which I'm sure it's not
it's
smart
busy.
Bust.
It's busy.
So,
in the officer or the committee recommendation, there's just a typo. It says smart bust.
Smart busy program.
It's in the rest of the report, actually.
Yeah. I actually can't find it straight away, but I think that was it 15,000 or 5,000? I can't remember now. Because I did see it somewhere, now I can't see it.
So, what's your question in relation
I'm
to...
I'm curious about... endorses the implementation of the Smart Busy program for business, which...
So that's the talks to encourage entrepreneurship. Is that correct, members of the Economic Development Committee?
That's correct. That's correct, Your Worship. It's a series of forums, for want of a better word, that business people can attend. It goes over, I think, a series of 5 weeks. to memory. That will give them an outline of how to rationalise their time whilst trying to maintain a busy business.
Can I just ask a question on that? Because if I remember correctly, it was offered to maybe something like 32 people. If you don't get enough people from the business community, is the plan to open that up to others that may not be involved in local business?
Well, I'll suggest that, yeah, I would think it'd be up to the town. The town, I wouldn't think council would have an issue with that. So if people wish to attend, would love to. It's subsidised by the town.
Great. So was that your only question, Councillor Hamilton?
Well, I was curious. I just was curious about the expenditure. The way the financial considerations was written, I just found it a little bit difficult to understand the actual program, but you've explained it. So.
Okay. So do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Mikichuk, seconder. Councillor Gangell, all those in favour? It's passed unanimously. 10.17, the calendar. I just wanted to flag that there was the Welga AGM missing from this, so that's on the 1st of August at 1 o'clock, so that just needs to be amended, and then I'm happy to move the officer recommendation with that amendment. Is there a seconder? Councillor Quinton, all those in favour? It's passed unanimously. Implementation of council resolutions. Councillor Hamilton, you had some.
Yes. The second resolution, which is one of my motions, it says the processes are in place for briefing of councillors after the election, but that motion had four dot points that related to various.
No, it actually talks about the other processes being in place. And the briefing of councillors after election is now in the councillors' manual.
Okay, so
there's actually a full stop between the two.
So the other processes, I haven't actually.
So can I just suggest maybe that we remove that from the council resolutions that haven't been implemented, and we can follow it up at a later time?
Yep.
So that's the second one, ROC 18/60873. So that's coming off. And it was. Was there another one that you had concerns about?
The Audit and Governance Committee, the last dot point, or the second, on the bottom of that page, actually. Mm-hmm. There are some matters there which, this doesn't explain what matters have all been dealt with. For instance, there was one that was sending a letter to the, I can't remember which minister now.
Okay, I know what you speak about. So again, let's remove that and.
It's Mr. Kloppwasser. He's the one who actually did that.
So Councillor Hamilton has queries about some of them not having been completed, so she'd like to follow up before that it's removed from the items. So are they the only two? So Amy, that was RSC. It's the RSC 18/62198. Any others of concern?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, so we have a mover for the officer recommendation with those amendments.
Sorry, just for my benefit, could you rewrite the amendments?
All we're doing is removing the first
the second one
resolution
and the last one,
and the last one on the first page. Yes.
So are we 10.18?
Yes. So all we're doing is Councillor Hamilton has some queries about whether they have been completed in full.
Okay.
So we're just removing them so they won't be deleted.
Thank you.
So all those in favour? That's passed unanimously.
Sorry, I didn't
put a second to that. Apologies. Okay, so now we're moving on to 13.1, which is confidential business. So do we have a
to go behind closed doors.
Yep, move to go behind closed doors. A seconder, Councillor Hamilton, all those in favour? That's passed unanimously.